Bobbitt. Drew and Mike show for Thursday from the DealsInTheD.com studios. And we're live on Facebook. We are live on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Grow Green MI, where they buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you, the grower. Bring them a quote for over $2,000 from any other hydro store, and they will beat it on the spot. Crazy deals. Crazy deals like bags of Ocean Force for $10. Advanced Nutrients Big Bud Gallons for $79 and hundreds of Fluent Spiders in stock for $1,420. Grow Green MI, M36 and Whitmore Lake are online at growgreenmi.com. And Brandon, you have your lock of the week ready?
I have the sounder. I'm just going to have to pick out which one I exactly need to lock in for the week.
I think the sounder is the most important part of the lock of the week.
Your lock last night wasn't too good.
What?
Mine?
No, Drew's, with the Yankees getting
two. Oh, I didn't say it was
a
lock.
Oh, I asked you if it was your lock of the week.
You're very confident in it. But it wasn't. I did not declare it a lock.
I think we liked it because of the odds.
Yeah. Very good odds, 2.5. Yeah, it was 4-1 Astros, and we needed the Yankees to get one run in two innings.
Yeah, they had five outs to do it.
I thought they'd squeeze one out.
Yeah.
But didn't happen.
That wife beater's too good of a closer for Houston.
Ozuna?
Wow. Yeah.
He's great.
Isn't that weird? I mean, these are the first things I think of now when I think of these athletes. That Ozuna beat his wife. Allegedly.
Those figure in any way in the betting?
Oh, no, because he...
It's our lock of the week.
Cha-ching! It doesn't weigh in because he can compartmentalize that, Trudy, when he's on the field.
Oh, well, of course.
He's not thinking of his wife while he's working?
No, hell no.
The left-handed starter for the Nats, was it Borden? What's his name?
Strasburg?
The lefty.
Oh, the lefty.
Did he start... Last night, I think he struck out 10 in four innings. The first four innings, I think he struck out 12 for the game. I can't think of his name. Anyway, the Nats were just dominant that series. And we have now, okay, very funny, Dan, CC, Barry.
Corbin. Yeah,
sorry.
Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer starting for one team in the World Series. It looks like Verlander could be starting for another team in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Last year, Price and Porcello started for the winning team in the World Series. So that's five Tiger starters.
Yeah.
In two World Series.
Maybe if we had a bullpen back then.
Really big roles. Anyway, if you want to pick Brandon's lock of the week, if we do get it, you can go to mybookie.ag where we play, or Brandon plays, my account. Yeah. And maybe you should, too, if you want to double your paycheck. You can double your first deposit. Hey, deposit your paycheck and double it on mybookie.ag. Bet on fantasy. Bet on overs. Brandon loves the unders. He loves the unders. He roots for punts.
Scoring, yeah.
And short gains and incompletions, and that's one way you can win money.
It was one game, and I didn't trust Baker Mayfield. He sucks.
You didn't trust him?
No, I don't think he would put up points.
Did you win on the under?
No.
You didn't.
I apologize.
Was that a lock? When you made the bet?
I don't think so. The lock was the Saints, and they won, and I cashed in some money on your
account. Parlay was a lock.
No, parlay was fun.
I don't want any fun activities on my
trying to be like Patrick.
I want locks.
No one can be like Patrick.
Patrick has agreed to provide the lock of the week, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he is on Celebrity Net Worth. He's won so many parlays. He's on there.
Did you see the kid at the University of Alabama that called in a bomb threat to the LSU-Florida game?
You know, I heard about it. Was there a delay in the game?
I don't think so. I think they knew it was bullshit to begin with. But do you know why he did it?
No.
And
ready for a bomb?
Does that have to do with a bet?
It has to do with a bet. I think
was he on my bookie? Was he on my account?
I can assume. Everyone's on your account.
Oh, boy.
No, Brandon's got that locked down. No one else but Brandon's on your account.
Okay.
Not even you. But he was doing it for a friend who had a bet that was going bad. Probably had the under because it was a high-scoring game.
How big a bet was it?
Yeah, they don't have many details
other than that. That's critical to the story.
I think so, too. And what was the bet?
If it was a $10,000 bet, we could all say, well, I can kind of understand that. That's a good friend.
It is a really good
friend.
But if
it's a $10 bet, that's incredibly stupid.
I want that guy in my corner.
And I think the higher the bet, the shorter the sentence.
Oh.
Sure. Yeah, the higher the bet, the less the punishment. Because
he might even get off.
What?
Well, if you call in a bomb threat because of your friend's going to lose a bet, it better be a high bet. It's got to be a lot of money. If it's a $20 bet, then I want him put away for life.
Life, yeah.
Name one thing a friend of yours has done that was cooler than that in the last year, Trudy. Nothing. That's the
one
best.
Thing, I guess
the
my
best
friends
friend
have done?
Any friend. Okay. That's the best friend I
that
could
is
ever
true
imagine.
Friendship. Yeah, that is. And he was caught, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He got arrested. It's crazy.
What did he look like, by the way? He's a white guy, right?
He looked like, okay, picture.
He
the
was
student,
caught.
Picture the student body of Alabama.
Yes.
And the white student body of Alabama, maybe the fraternity, and that's him. So he had like a button-down shirt.
Kind of a Brooks Brothers guy.
Yes, exactly. It's very stereotypical.
I was picturing more of a...
I'll show you a picture of him.
A redneck in Alabama student.
Well, really?
Yeah.
That's still a good university.
I mean, I see him with a baseball hat on and...
Oh, he might have.
Thank you, and Roll Tide.
Maybe he's a little heavy set.
No, he was thin.
Likes his beer.
Yeah, here he is. He's kind of a.
Let me see.
Looks like a wiener.
He does.
Oh, he looks like. Oh.
Okay, so yeah, that's a guy. It was about the money.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
about the friendship.
Yeah, look at his pupils. Is one big and one small? It's
oh,
weird.
Wow.
He looks like he's speeding, possibly.
His hair is very feathered.
Yes, his hair is very feathered.
And that is a popped collar on a polo. Make
it
no
is,
mistake.
Is it?
Oh, Jesus. Well, he should get extra time for that.
That's another charge?
Absolutely.
From the fashion police?
Yeah. Oh, it looks all of 12, too.
Yeah, what a moron. I mean, great friend, though.
Today is the one-year anniversary of Mike Clark's death, as we record. And I guess we're getting some great rave reviews for the special show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to listen back to. The interview with Borat was amazing.
It was fun.
Oh, I want to listen to that.
And there's
Clark
also...
took that interview over in a really funny way, treating Borat as real as Borat wanted to be treated. Like, hey, what's it like being back in your home country?
Your questions, Drew, were more directed towards the film.
The movie, yeah.
Mike just wanted to know about Borat himself.
He was setting him up. Yeah.
Well, that's cool to get his MO down and solidify the character.
There was also this.
Mike was behind the fourth wall, clearly.
I was really pissed, though, because I put the same bit in twice. Well, not the same exact bit, but kind of the same bit in twice by accident, because I was so confused.
There was this great mashup of calls from Scott. The wake-up calls.
Oh, the wake-up calls.
Yeah, screaming.
That's so funny.
The last bit on there was one, I don't know if you remember me telling you yesterday when I was listening to it, a listener that rated all the butt mics.
Oh, yeah,
Rob managed to get them all put together on the air. It was really funny listening back.
Wow.
Well, I want to listen to that. I kind of wanted to hear my call to Butt Mike when Mike was sick.
That was really funny. And, that was really
Butt
funny.
Mike, yeah. Maybe Dan Evans can dig that up. Anyway.
It's the anniversary of Balloon Boy, too.
Oh.
10 years.
Wow, how incredible is that?
I know. They actually did a thing on World News Now this morning on ABC, so.
That means tomorrow.
Where are they now?
Where is, what's his name, Heaney, the first, the kid?
Falcon.
Falcon Heaney, that's
right. They all moved from Colorado to upstate New York, and they live what appears to be a treehouse or a shotgun shack or something.
Is there any science detective activity going on?
There's a lot of crap laying around, so he appears to be inventing things, maybe things that don't work. They didn't specify, but.
What was the dad's name?
Dick.
Oh, yeah, Richard Heaney, science
detective.
Remember all of Richard Heaney's inventions?
I don't.
Some.
The back-scratching razor thing that he invented, he claims. Remember we had him on and he listed all of them?
Selling all that. The other thing about
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
the one thing that really sticks out to me is when Wolf Blitzer missed.
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the greatest live lines in modern television history when the kid goes, I thought we did it for the show.
He's asking Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
Hmm?
You did?
You did?
Why didn't you come out?
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Yeah.
No.
No.
You didn't come out?
Dick tries to fix it for himself.
We did it for the show.
His next move is to throw his son under the bus.
Yeah, and Falcon would not even
come out
under the bus.
Then they go to commercial, and a producer is screaming in Wolf's ear, why didn't you challenge him? And then there was the challenge after the commercial.
He said, we did this for the show in explaining why he didn't come out.
Thanks for stopping by, Wolf.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt this real quick because I think I can see the direction you guys are hedging on this.
Yeah, the direction
earlier,
that you sent us.
You had asked the police officers some questions. The media out front, we weren't even going to do this interview.
Oh, shut up.
You're so kind.
And I'm kind of appalled after all of the feelings that I went through up and down that you guys are trying to suggest something else.
What?
Okay? I'm really appalled.
No, because, your kid suggested it.
They said out in front that this would be the end and I wouldn't have to be bothered for the rest of the week with any shows or anything.
Well, no one's bothered
so
yet.
So we said,
you're
okay,
not
fine,
even
we'll
over.
Do this.
The best defense is a good offense.
I'm kind of appalled that you guys would say something like that. You know, it's...
what's Wolf's comeback?
We're not asking anything unusual.
He originally ignored it, so
earlier
in his
about
defense.
This was a publicity stunt.
What a pussy.
You say
Wolf
it wasn't the police,
down
say it wasn't the rescue operation, say it wasn't. The only thing I just wanted to clarify why Falcon had said earlier, we did this for the show, and I just wanted to clarify. I didn't understand what he was referring to.
It almost worked on Wolf.
Well, you know, we were on Weisskopf a couple of times, so the camera crews out there, I would imagine, they'd ask him a couple of questions.
Falcon got confused.
In reference to this. And I believe, you know, he meant something to do with that.
Oh, he tries to keep the lie
nice
going.
Try.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
So, nice so that must try. Mean tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary of this
yeah,
stellar appearance on the Today Show.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, and the little kid throws up?
I'm just sick of Falcon getting all the attention.
After the initial interview with all the people out in front... I told everybody, my kids and my wife, to come inside. And I looked behind me. They weren't there.
You don't see people throw up
so
on TV very often.
No.
Isn't that great?
And Falcon's climbing up in the joist in the attic space. And
I'm just hearing this guy talk.
So
is annoying
right.
me.
It is.
And
he
I was like,
puke.
30,
oh, here you go. Here's where he pukes.
So
that's what he was referring to.
Oh.
That's what he was referring to when...
he tries to keep talking.
He made that statement.
And I know I want to point out that the sheriff's office said last night
that
they believe
puke.
Your account of what happened. But
ugh.
Well, you know, if you don't remember Falcon Heaney, by the way, he's the kid that was in the helium balloon. They thought he's in the helium balloon, which is blowing across the country live on television for hours.
That's right.
It was hours. And then someone finally tracked it down, and he wasn't in
What's
it.
He doing up there?
He was hiding in the garage or something?
Yeah. Attic. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, in the garage, yeah.
Yeah, which he did it for the show.
That's true. I've seen that. I've watched that.
As he told us.
And to everybody,
I was mad he wasn't in the helium balloon.
Yeah.
I was mad. I felt like, you know, as long as he wasn't dead, I wanted him in the helium because I was watching it all that time. Like, when he wasn't in the helium thing, I was pissed.
That should have been his punishment.
Like, I should have been happy because he was safe.
They should have sent him up in a balloon so we could watch it happen for real.
Should have.
He should celebrate.
Should have had a replay.
The 10th anniversary by going up
for
in a
show.
Balloon.
Or put Richard Heaney in the helium balloon.
Yeah.
Owed us a drama of someone in a helium balloon.
Someone needs to be in that makeshift balloon.
Damn it.
Do you remember they had to close airspace over Denver?
Oh, no. It was complete insanity. Jim Brewer is about to call us, by the way. Jim Brewer, who is at Motor City on November the 6th. And Jim, hopefully you remember Jim from Saturday Night Live, where he was Goat Boy and Joe Pesci.
Half-baked.
Everyone.
Half-baked with Dave Chappelle. Half-baked just taking a new life, I
Such
feel.
Such a great movie.
It is.
Yeah.
1964, The Tribute. If you're anything like me, you're a huge Beatles fan. If you want to feel the magic of those historic live performances, you got to check out 1964, The Tribute. It's getting close. It's Friday night. Rolling Stone called them the best Beatles tribute on earth. You can catch them live this Friday night at the Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac. For more info and to get tickets, go to FlagstarStrand.com or Ticketmaster and use promo code Drew for 25% off. Alrighty. And, is the Detroit School of Rock and Pop is back! They provide exciting and motivating music lessons and experiences from Detroit's finest professional musicians. This is truly a mom-and-pop operation, too. It's not like it's a franchise. This is a truly organic thing that's grown and grown and grown here.
A rock and roll!
Yeah, and they're looking for adults that are tired of practicing for no reason and want to start accomplishing their musical dreams. They put bands together.
Start rocking. Stop playing around.
You get lessons, and then next thing you know, you're performing with people at your own level or maybe even better. It's for all ages. Maybe you didn't accomplish your dreams, but you think, you know, I wish I played an instrument sooner.
There's like, kids out there that love this stuff.
Rosie tried to force Mark to take the piano lessons, and he wouldn't take the bait. You could have been Elton John II.
I know.
By now.
My arms are short.
All ages, all skill levels, they take you from zero to hero at the Detroit School of Rock and Pop. Call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 1-888-988-ROCK or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com.
Short arms did not stop Elton John from becoming one of the best pianists. Did you notice when you were watching it how short his arms are?
On Jimmy Kimmel?
His tiny little arms.
I didn't really notice it. He's got those cookie-grabbing hands. Yeah, his hands are perfect for grabbing cookies.
What, circular?
They're made. There was some Darwinian need for cookie-grabbing hands at some point. And that survived. That trait survived in his family.
I told you, if he got any bigger, you know, like girthier around the middle,
he's huge.
He might not be able to reach the piano because his arms are kind of short. But
he was great on Kimmel, though.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, man, he was funny.
Yeah, he was really awesome.
He was very likable. And Jimmy made a joke early in the interview, and I thought, oh, boy. He said, Elton said, I couldn't get enough of music or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy said, hey, I couldn't get enough cocaine either. And Elton, he was all smiles. He's having a good time. Let's see.
It's sense of humor. He really does.
Is it brew time?
Waiting on him to call.
Yeah. I can't believe he's not in the SNL book at all.
Jim Brewer's not in it?
I looked in the index. I didn't see him.
He was in skits that I remember.
He was on for what? 3 years? 4 years? And he's not in this book at all that I saw. I was kind of surprised
by skit
that.
With Pesci and De Niro. You never saw De Niro doing anything. And honestly, I kind of want to ask him about that because now we see De Niro on SNL so many times. And he seems so... It just seems like it's a really foreign place for him to be doing something live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you expect De Niro to just kill on Saturday Night Live, and he's seems kind of out of it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the greatest actor when he's doing some improv.
Not at all.
Just so bizarre.
And I don't remember. I thought he was serviceable in the skit with Pesci. It was De Niro and Pesci.
Well, he
didn't
have to do anything but be himself. Mm-hmm. He just can't play anybody else. And he's really good in Joker.
I hope we can get Brewer to tell the story because his Pesci is so funny. And Pesci, I guess, told him he didn't sound like, I don't really sound like that.
Really?
He talks.
What do you say? You want to thank me for giving you a career?
Oh, Pesci, don't get carried away with yourself. By the way, what's his name? The artist, rock and roll artist, did not get any royalties for Joker, apparently. You know, the pedophile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Gary Glitter?
Gary Glitter. He's not own the rights to that song anymore.
The other GG, not Gary Kraft, but Gary Glitter.
Oh, so stadiums can crank it again?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, with impunity.
I mean, you'll think about him, but in his horrific crimes.
Yeah, it's still his song, though, and it still keeps him going.
His crimes are worse than anybody on the field, too.
He didn't get any money from
barely.
Not much, yeah.
Barely.
And Motor City Casino, November the 6th, 8 p.m. for Jim Brewer. Hey, Jim.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Cool.
I'm hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about something, and we've been watching Robert De Niro on Saturday Night Live in the last year or so. You know, he's done a lot of stuff. Have you seen him?
Not really, Saturday Night Live.
Okay. He's been, I don't know, it seems like he really has a hard time with live television. Like, he's looking at cue cards, and, I mean, he really fumbled a couple of them. I mean, am I exaggerating?
No, not at all.
Oh, not at all.
It was just surprising, a great actor like that.
Yeah,
improv.
Yeah, but what you don't understand, he's not a theater actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to work with him his very first TV live appearance ever, and that was when he came on when I was doing the Joe Pesci show when I was on SNL, and he came on, and I remember during the dress rehearsal, first of all, he smelled like wine.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah, boy.
Yeah, it was great. And then Pesci was supposed to go, I don't know, whatever he said, and then he says something to me, and then De Niro's supposed to look at Colin Quinn as Joe Pesci and go, who are you supposed to be? And I remember Pesci does his lines like, hey, you know, who are you this and that? And then it was silent for like 20 seconds.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to tell him it's your line. Oh, and then all of a sudden, Pesci literally elbowed him. And he looked at him and he said, what? And he went, oh, who are you supposed to be? Oh. And the crowd went,
yeah, what?
It was absolutely nuts, though.
It is funny how people just love screw-ups. If somebody busts during a skit, or, I mean, that's for some reason, that's people remember that better than some of the great lines.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I mean, when I do, hold on a second. It sounds like the rain is coming down like nuts. So when I do my live shows, everyone loves when I just go off the cuff. They go crazy. Like, you know, my favorite part was not when we started crying of laughter of this bit or that bit. It was when you started talking to that one guy who got out to go to the bathroom and you went off for 20 minutes. Like, that was your favorite part? Oh, it's not bad. Girl, listen to that for an hour. People love off script.
I know. Don't you feel kind of disappointed in a way when that happens?
Who, me?
Well, I mean, just that you work so hard on your 40 minutes or whatever, and then somebody likes something, you just were kind of goofing.
Ah, no, you know what? I used to, because that's all ego. That's ego. So,
well, it's still you.
Yeah, but this is how I look at it. I look at it as my job is just to entertain you for the hour, 15, hour and a half that I'm up there. If it's the one bit that I thought was the most brilliant, clever, deep thing to talk about, that's my expectation. If you left there going, that was such a great show, I laughed so hard, my favorite thing was XYZ, then my job is done. It's just like anything. You may not know anything about me, and someone could go, your best thing by far was when you did something 30 years ago. And in the past, I'm like, you know, this guy is. But then I go, you know what? That's why I do this. That's what that person is touched from one moment from something I did 30 years ago. What more can I ask for? So I don't get involved in the. I know, like, some actors will get mad, like, I've done stuff recently, or or people will try to do their resume. You know, I've done this. that's just ego getting in the way.
I don't want you to get depressed about it. I mean, in a way.
Oh, trust me, I'm not.
it's kind of cool that, you know, I mean, you could view it as, well, hey, it's something I did off my cuff. I'm quick on my feet. And like that.
And to that point, I heard you talking about live in Portland on an interview and how, you know, the guy that tapes all your stuff decided to professionally tape that one. And that was a show going into it. You're like, I'm just going to try a few things, some real stories. And he had to sell you on how good that show was. And after you told that whole story, all I could think of is, well, how much percentage did Jim get off of that label that this guy started for that album?
Well, that's an interesting question.
But I thought that was cool that he had to sell you on that fact.
Yes. And now he's trying to sell me on another one that I just did. Because
he's got a good hit rate.
Yeah.
He does have a good hit rate. He literally just turned up about an hour ago. And for the last 3-4 years, I've been doing all kind of different one-hour sets. Some of them are completely off the cuff. Some of them are very, very tight routines and bits like that. And I did this residency in Long Island, and it was 18 straight months. I did mostly different shows. Some stuff would overlap. Some stuff I'd elaborate. But he just said, he goes, listen, the last show you did there, it got interrupted by a fire alarm. I listened to it every other day, and I had laughed just as hard.
I think
we have another. He goes, and everything you did on this is nothing that you're doing now on tour, and it has nothing to do with live in Portland.
I'm telling you, this is a big one. They're like, really? And then even when live from Portland, he sent it to me. He goes, did you listen to it? And I go, yeah. I never listened to that. And I don't care. I ask him, are you laughing? He's a lot. I said, all right, well, then that's it. That's all I need to know. If I listen to it, I'm going to criticize it and say my voice sounds stupid or I could have been better at that. Let's do another one.
God, you still do that?
Oh, God. You know, a lot of people come up to me after a show, the half-baked fans, and they'll say, you know, they'll start doing the when I order the food scene, and I go, I watched that movie once my whole life. Not that I don't like it. And I watched it with Chappelle at a screening. Wow. And that was it. I don't know. It was just weird sitting at home going, look at me. I tell you, I'm too much, huh? Boy, I really crushed it with that line. I know what I did.
What about your kids? Have they seen it? You should have them watch Half Baked.
They discovered it a while ago. I think their friends were more fascinated with their.
Yeah, you're just dad.
Yeah, I am. I'm just dad. They don't. Well, once in a while, they go, Dad, did you see? I remember when Gabba Gabba came out.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, Yo Gabba Gabba. My kids are like, Dad, they're like stealing all your stuff. They do everything you do at home, and you know your bit on the about the alcohol. They did the same thing for food. They're totally stealing you. They even called it party in the stomach, Dad. I'm like, oh, okay. Well.
So you sued Yo Gabba Gabba then? Did you sue
them? I went after them hard.
That's why they don't exist anymore.
He asked them like Tom Petty at the Emmys 3-4 years ago, whatever, or the Grammy.
It sounds like your kids keep you pretty humble, though, and they do make their way into a lot of material.
Well, yeah, that's my first responsibility. So in life, you're supposed to work and make money in our civilized world. That they created. However, my real responsibility is my family and my kids. So not only do I get to try to figure that out as I move along, but I go, damn, this is going to keep me going forever because everyone can relate to every stage I'm going through.
Yeah, I got a kick out of the, what was it, the Great Adventure Safari Park. I was listening to that a couple days ago. And, you know, the story's great, and I didn't want you to feel like you had to go into it or anything, but I love the way you do sound effects on the microphone, like the elephant and the running over the baboons. That's a real, there's something, I mean, a lot of comedians are good at it, some better than others, and those SFX were outstanding.
Well, thank you. That's 70s TV growing up. That's what that is. That's ooh, that's Screw Rabbit. What's up, Doc? It's all I did was watch cartoons. So
the elephant was, it sounded like a herd of elephants.
I still throw that in once in a while, but in different ways. I know I love sound effects. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah, it adds a lot. And
this may sound weird, but it seems like you really like radio. I mean, you've done Stern a million times. You do all the stuff with ONA, your own podcast. I would think that, do you like just the audio part? Like, if you were to release a new set, does it have to have video, or could you release an album?
No, I'd release an album.
What do you prefer?
I haven't tried video yet. The last 2 years I've released a video just on Instagram and on my Patreon page and Facebook. And I love how I can put 3-4 minutes or even a 15-20 minute bit and I'll get so many views. I don't have to waste a whole hour putting something out there. Because my audience is starting to build and build a bit. It's becoming a
it's becoming like a Pearl Jam deadhead thing, meaning he does this different show all the time. My third, I just did the first leg of my tour, and I had people saying, this is my third time on the tour scene. You went, what? They're like, yeah, you went from Boston. Boston show was different from the New Hampshire show, and I saw you in Jersey, and there were three totally, dude, I wish I could travel with you. Like, oh, wow. All right. So I guess I'm going to go with audio for now, because the audio, I don't mind releasing the whole thing, but I'm also seriously been talking with, because I film every show now, every single one, and I record every single show, and I'm seriously thinking about releasing bootleg Brewer DVD CDs when this is over, so you have your specific shows.
Oh, cool.
That's like what Pearl Jam did. That's
yeah. Kind of I remember getting the show the day after the show. After, that was wild. But, you know, it's when you say that you change it up, I got to tell you, when I first got into stand-up, and it was in Roanoke, Virginia, and they opened a comedy club there, and it was such a blast. It was, you know, 86 when many people went in stand-up, and so many clubs opened, and it was like, wow, in this little town we even have a comedy club, and we got some good people through, and I got to be friends with a couple of them who came on the show. Yeah. And I went to see him, and I had so much fun. I was like, man, I got to go back tomorrow night. And I go back the next night, and I mean, every word for word,
yeah.
every pause, every chuckle. It's like, oh, man, that's exactly the same.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I was young, and I didn't know any better. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, no, I didn't know any better either, but I also, I respect that people can do that, because I can't. I can't. I've tried it, and I think that's why I have a hard time with putting out specials, because I never feel like I'm quite ready. I'll be ready, but I'm going, you know what, tomorrow night I'm going to elaborate another 7 minutes just on this point. And then, all right, do we do it? Is this a 20-minute bit? Is it a 10-minute bit? It always kind of cramped my style. And for years and years, it's been, here's the first bit, here's the second bit, here's how it goes. And again, I'm blown away that people can do that. But I'm not disciplined enough to do that. But I also don't mind it, because I love what I do.
Jim, I think it was on the podcast you mentioned, or maybe I just bumped into it online, this thing with Barstool, where you went on and you guys were having some fun.
Oh, good, yeah.
And I'm going, what, racism? Racist?
Yeah.
What? And so I'm like, who called this racist? And of course I find out it's Deadspin. I hate Deadspin. I can't stand them. I mean, they are the... Anyway, I'll let you take it from there.
Well, no, I had people chat to me and say, Jim, Deadspin Spin is not even real. All they do is watch Barstool and everyone else, and they cry sexist, racist, racist,
yep,
sexist,
homophobic,
sexist, racist, homophobic, sexist, racist. And I thought this was interesting. You want to talk about karma or whatever? I immediately tweeted, but I don't put it out there. I tweeted out, and I went DM'd the person that put the label of Jim Brewer's racist remarks. Because unfortunately we're in a dumbed down society that likes to scream and get emotional without even knowing what's going on. It's like showing up to an accident, people going, we gotta kill that guy, that guy, and then everyone's like, yeah, we gotta kill him. Like, you weren't here, you morons. You have no clue what's going on. Sit down, observe, ask questions. We don't, there's this madness in society that doesn't think, so it's actually even madder. I was extremely angry at him, and I'll read the tweet to you, too. This is what I did. Hold on, I'll read the exchange, because I wouldn't get rid of it. Hold on, I gotta go. I'm going to my Twitter. Let me look at the personal
Jim, I have to tell you, it's very unsettling, though, as somebody, you know, who likes you, to see Jim Brewer racist. I'm like, Jim Brewer? Right. I didn't see that coming. Well, and then, you, right. you know, and you of course, you watch it, and you go, oh, God, Deadspin! Ah!
Which is what they want.
Exactly. But it's very dangerous and careless and, quite frankly, evil to do that in our society. When you don't know, when you have blind people going, he's racist. You need shut your mouth. I'm losing pace. So here's what happened. Here's what I said.
Okay.
The bit is not racist. I'm sad people like you use your position to sell and spread pure hatred and chaos. It's so unfortunate. He writes back, tell funnier jokes or shut your effing mouth. This is the reporter.
Oh, wow.
Classy.
Nice reporter.
Classy.
So I wrote back, and he goes under at Sammer, whatever that is.
Sammer Keller.
So I wrote back and went, you're avoiding the point, which makes sense. And unfortunately, that's what people like you do. Let's talk face to face, a real conversation. When can we meet up? Because I honestly wish you the best. And I'm serious when I say you can really help people rather than what you are spreading. And all the best journeys to you and your family. If you ever want to meet for a conversation, I have nothing to hide and my door is open. Hmm. Take care. Reach out when you're ready. Never heard from them again.
Because of course not.
They don't know how to respond to humanity.
You know, it's funny. If they were on the other side of that, where they were messaging someone like that and they had that conversation where someone never got back to them, they would take that conversation and make it a post on their site.
Yep.
Well, they're pretty righteous considering their parent company got shut down because they released Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Oh, you know what? Well, here's who's going to get it. So after that, a week, not even a couple days later of the pushback of how dare you call Brewer racist and you people, and I mean, the dogs went after them. All of a sudden, the head editor was fired.
Oh, wow.
And was specifically told, stick to sports.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Really?
And then, you want to hear something even funnier? Because the joke that I did was, I alluded to, some of the players were so bad, oh my God, maybe they're stuck in organized crime, went after them. And what happened a couple days later? Two ex-Mets get pinched for drug dealing.
That's right.
Yeah, boy.
And drug lord involvement.
Because you gave him the idea.
You couldn't have even written that in a script. But the whole point of it, yeah, it just made me go, good Lord, you know, this is all got to stop. This is pure madness.
I don't understand. I wouldn't think sports fans would. I can't believe that appeals to that many sports fans. I guess it does, though.
No, it doesn't. It's their petty fight with Barstool.
It doesn't have to do with sports fans. It's the agenda and the push of what's going on today. It's, for instance, it all comes down to what's been shoved down your throat and your emotions being toyed with in political matters and other matters. That's what it all boils down. That had nothing to do with anything. It's like if I make an Irish, people just go, racist, blah, blah, blah. They're not even yelling at me. They're just yelling at what they're watching on the news and what they think. Well, it's something so bigger and deeper. Well, that's what the problem.
They love pointing out to like a caricature of a voice. You know, if you're talking about a Hispanic, and you can't do an impersonation really if it's Hispanic. So I was
too bad.
What would happen if you did like this an Asian impersonation of a Hispanic? You know, the stereotype. Is it racist?
I do on stage right now. I mean, I was in Italy, and one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life was. Our taxi driver was driving down the street, and it was a merge, and he wouldn't let the van in, and the van kind of had to run away. So the van beeped the horn, and he rolled down his window. My guy was like, "Yeah, about that man, who should have been about that?" I didn't understand a word he was saying. About that man, and the guy in the van was Indian, and I thought he was going to go. There's no need for hostility. You know, we have people in here. We have children in here. He rolled down the window and he was yelling in Italian in an Indian accent. It was cool. Okay, what? That's racist? No, I'm imitating something I see.
Yeah,
an impersonation.
That's the problem with people.
It seems to me it's racist not to impersonate people because they're of a certain race, because you're denying their existence in a way.
It's all stupid. The word racist, you can't throw it around the way you've been throwing it around. We all know what racist is. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm the first in line getting ready to stomp it out hard.
Cool.
Hey, hard.
Well, I'm there with you, ma'am.
Jim, I
got news for you. The majority is.
I agree with you.
Night after night after night after night. The majority is sick and tired of it.
We can't let you go without talking about Metallica, because you opened for them on the big tour. How tight are you with the guys?
Tight enough. Pretty tight.
Pretty tight?
Is James okay? Are you that tight to know if he's all right?
He's going to be fine. He's good. He's good.
Getting help.
Well, they checked him into rehab, and then they plotted their 2020 date, so they're pretty confident, I guess, that he's going to be back out. Are you going to go with him in 2020?
I was not told I'll be with them. I don't have any legal contracts, and from what I understand, those are festivals.
Yes, festivals.
Which, who knows, I may be at those festivals. We don't know yet. But yeah, no, I know them well, and he will be. I'm gonna say he should be fine.
Have you ever played tennis with Lars?
Lars,
no, I'm but I would like to. I would. I think I'd like to. I think I'd like to. Is I'm more like a street tennis player.
Oh, he'll definitely be in tennis whites, so that would look interesting.
Yeah, he'd be in tennis whites. So mentally. Trash talking a blue collar kid from Long Island, I think, could take down anyone. So the minute I start hitting on what you're wearing, you're gonna start wondering about it. I shake you up, like in your head. It's easy. It's a head game. It's a street game. I grew up on a street.
Jim Brewer at Motor City. November the 6th.
I can't wait.
At 8. Yeah, Jim, thanks so much for the time. It's great to catch up with you, and good luck with the podcast and all the great things you're doing.
Great talking to you guys. All the best to all of you. Have a good one.
You bet, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Stay in touch. We'll see you. Jim
Brewer! Who's on Munchies tonight, yo?
Is that me?
He loves.
I said, be me. What do you guys want?
Get some... sour cream and onion chips with some dip, man. Some beef jerky, some peanut butter. Get some Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars, a whole lot of hot. Make sure chocolate. Gotta have chocolate, man. Some popcorn, bread popcorn, graham crackers. Graham crackers with the marshmallows, and little marshmallows, and little chocolate bars, and we'll make some s'mores, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yo.
Also, celery, grape jelly, Captain Crunch with blue crunch berries, pizzas. We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them with water, a whole lot of water, and onions. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Anyone want anything else?
Oh, yeah. Give me a box of condoms and what's that stuff? I used to eat it all the time back in the day. Pussy. That's right.
You got it.
Jim Brewer.
Is that improvised, I wonder? The list of munchies.
It's gotta be, right?
It sounds like it.
So?
Yeah.
It's a good scene.
Celery and grape jelly.
Yeah.
He's so enthusiastic. Man.
He's intense.
Energy.
He's, he just fills up the room.
Remember that documentary and his dad, too?
Oh, yeah.
That was last time.
Yeah, that was rough.
Talked to him, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't really notice it until he mentioned it, that because I'm on Deadspin every now and again, but they really have been sticking to sports more. And after Gawker went away, Deadspin really took it upon themselves to try to get some of their social commentary out there. And now it seems to be all sports, with the exception of, you know, Jalopnik. You know, they'll add a story from another one of their sister.
I got to say, I just despise Deadspin. I'm just not a fan.
I still,
if they want to go to sports, fine, but they just lost me a long time ago.
I still like their site. I don't like the petty battle with Barstool, and it's the thing I don't like about Barstool. It's like, just do what you do. I don't know.
Well, maybe it'll
work
out
for them.
Sure
works if it gets some clicks.
I guess, you know, maybe there are people who go to Deadspin and make lists of all the racist and people that aren't PC, and that serves them in some way. But anyway, Trudy, can you handle this?
Yeah. Sure.
And let's see. I'm trying to think of what's coming up. Do we have any more things on the Hall Financial Hotline today? DrewandMike.HallFG.com.
Oh, maybe. There might be.
We might get a surprise phone call.
Oh, that's
call.
Right.
A rando phone call. It's quite possible. Maybe
yes?
not.
You say it, you'll
possibly.
Jinx it.
I know. Okay. No, you're right.
There could be some wool washing going on, holding
not,
things up.
Uh-oh. If not, I can do the routine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We if not, we have plenty of people who can stand in for him.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Our friends and original sponsor, Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds. During Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep that you have been yearning for. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass, limited as low as $166 a month, or if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can
the
lease
Mac Daddy.
A new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. And winter coming on, some rugged conditions for, you know, getting through it all. Jeep is where you got to go. Our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. Finally, you know, we can't get through a Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning Ram trucks.
Ram trucks.
Ram trucks.
So go lease a 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yeah, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from. Also, see details of their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Roche wants to give you a redo in October so you can look hotter by Christmas. A few new breast implants, possibly. The augmentation.
You
got
to look hot for Christmas.
You
don't
you have to.
You don't want to open gifts around the family not looking hot.
You want to definitely look hot. Whether
now, a lot of people go home, though.
Whether you're spilling out of your Santa Claus outfits or you've got great abs, you're a dude and you got great abs.
Plus
all of that.
Thanksgiving season, you know, isn't that Wednesday before Thanksgiving where everybody goes home?
Yeah, that's
you
know, right.
You run into people you don't want to run into.
It's almost
you haven't
like
seen
a
in
class,
years.
Yeah, class reunion.
It's a quasi-class reunion. Like, it's the worst. It's the best reason to stay inside.
It totally is. Yeah, you don't want to look all dried up and awful. So
well, you don't see those people.
Get a pair of saline breast implants for $3,500.
Yeah.
Dr. Roche is also exquisitely equipped for a variety of breast lift procedures, including breast tight, which incidentally, body tight is used all over, including on your midriff, legs, neck, face, in addition to the breasts.
Boobs!
It can actually, like, you know, buoy things. Yeah. What is the motion I'm making? It can actually tighten things up so they're a lot higher and gravity defined.
Your hands were the right size. That was pretty impressive.
They're
Come here!
Cookie hands?
Yeah, well, that's why Elton John's hands are cookie-grabbing hands, not breast-lifting hands.
Not grabbing any breasts,
no,
but neck, face, the whole thing with Body Tight. Dr. Roche's special for October include Botox and Dysport 2 areas. Get the third area for free filler specials, one syringe of wrestling. Get $100 off the second syringe. Zerona, lose inches. Zerona, totally non-invasive. 11 treatments, 353. You, like, sit there underneath Zerona, it does all the work. You can, you know, be on your phone and read whatever you want to do, sleep. Regular $1,600. You can also upgrade to Virju that firms and tightens arms and neck for a special price. And BBL, Dr. Roche now offering 3 corrective, 3 photo revelation for just $1,000. That's a regular $2,325. So look hotter in your sexy Halloween costume and get better sweater potatoes for Christmas or abs or whatever you want.
Nice.
For Christmas.
Yeah, boobs. I talked to Greg yesterday and he wants to do boobs.
Boobs.
For some reason, the boob business is a little slow right now.
What?
How's
no,
that possible?
I was shocked.
Does that mean some joker's going to write how boobs aren't in anymore?
Oh, come on. Well, nobody gets away with that.
I was reading an article about how high heels are not in anymore. Like, that's just out.
That's just people declaring that it's anything thought, that's always great, it has to be part of the circle and go in and out. And some things never go out. Boobs never go out of style.
Well, I thought it was, I was reading it, you know, on the anniversary of Mike's death, too, and he loved high heels.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
He would never let that die.
No, heavens no. Yeah, I wonder where those red pumps are, because actually they should be enshrined.
His briefcase. Wherever his briefcase is, along with the Challenger transcript.
Dr. Roche, 248-338-1110 or drroche.com.
Boobs.
Boobs.
Dan Evans sent us the Butt Mic call.
Just came in a minute ago.
Really?
Yeah, you want to give it a spin?
I haven't heard it since I did it, which was 2011.
Uh-huh. No. So 2011?
Was it 10, 12, 13? I don't know. When was it? It had to be.
Oh, I think this was old building.
Oh, this is old building?
Yeah, because these were on carts. Because we had Butt Mic Long, Butt Mic, I mean, not to.
Wow.
Not to pull the curtain back, but Butt Mic Sentence was one of them. So this was, I think this is when he left for, like, in 2000 when he was ill.
Oh.
I think if this is the one we're thinking of.
I thought it was in the new building, and
possibly
I thought it was.
We could have done it twice.
Yeah. Well, that's very possible. All right. Why not? Let it rip.
Oh, it's Butt Mike. I think he said hello.
Good morning.
He said good morning.
How are you?
He said, I'm fine, Arnold. Funny.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Said, all right, enough of the Arnold crap.
Butt Mike conversion has dropped.
Stop it.
Hey, Butt Mike.
What?
He said, yeah. It's Drew. We're on the air, and we just were hoping to get some kind of an update on Mike. Okay. He said, okay. All right. How's he doing? Pretty good. Can you be a little more specific than that? I think he said it's not the flu. Which we sort of...
I wonder my phone bill is so high.
He's talking forever.
He said Dr. Roche was a big help. He gave me an IV, and it is something intestinal in nature. Can you get Mike up? He said no. Why not? He said, I'm trying to wake him up, but he won't wake up. is he okay? I mean, he's not dead, is he? He hasn't expired on us, has he? But Mike said, oh no, trust me, he's breathing, or I couldn't talk. That's a good one, But Mike. Okay, well, anything else you can tell us about his condition, or anything else you wanted to say? I got to score in the EMU game. They lost Northern Illinois last night. I think it was 58-52. Anything else? I couldn't understand that. Come again. I think he's trying to ask if Jesse Jackson's mistress is white. You know, we don't have a picture yet, but I'll bet you 8 rolls of toilet paper she is. Or that she is not, rather. He said, no, thanks. Okay, she works at the Rainbow Coalition. I don't know if you knew that, but Mike. No, he didn't know.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Hey, Bob Mike. He said that Arnold stuff is funny. But Mike, thanks for the update, and tell Mike we look forward to seeing him tomorrow if he can make it in. He said, you're very welcome. I've been waiting all morning for your call. I wish you called earlier. Sorry, but Mike, have a good day. We didn't want to wake anybody up. He said bye.
That was the first time I had to translate Butt Mike, because Mike Clark always did it.
Wow.
I love the sound of him waving the microphone.
The rustling.
Yes.
Watching him actually do that was where it would literally, I mean, it didn't have to be there. But
no,
it
no.
did. It was
sort of like the warm-up act.
That's right.
Because you knew what was coming after the rustling.
Wow. If anybody else missed that bonus episode, there's... Man, some of the clips in there were fantastic. There was an 80-year-old skydiver that you guys had called.
Oh yeah. That,
it started off. I was angry with you, Drew, because I was like, Drew is being so mean to her, and then she turns the interview and makes it all about herself and just rattles all these accomplishments. And in the end, I was just dying laughing. It was a great phone call.
Yeah, I think once she started down that path, I think we were trying to elicit more bragging.
Yeah.
That's usually how that goes.
Phenomenal. The megaphone came into effect and wow.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. I think I said it yesterday. It's like I like the show better than this isn't just a brand new phenomenon, but after 2013 when it ended, you know, I was really pleased with the show and proud of it and all that, but it seems like it holds up a lot better than I thought.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't know why that is. I mean, you just think like when somebody says, oh, I found this old thing like Dan Evans does all the time. I kind of think, oh, well, it's probably dated, you know, or whatever. But it doesn't feel that way listening to stuff. It's funny.
It's like the David Letterman phenomenon of, you know, shows so many that he's been through that he doesn't even afterward, you know, remember.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I don't remember some of these things all that well. And then you hear me go, wow, that was great.
But if you think about people like Dan Evans and other people who listen to the show, those are people who were on their way somewhere and it got them through their day. And, you know, I mean, they didn't listen to the entire show either. They saw, you know, they just got parts of it. So.
And stuff keeps showing up, too, that I never heard a second time.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. You know, because a lot of stuff got run a lot or, uh-huh. You know, I heard it a lot for one reason or that, like the salad story, which is also still funny as hell every time I hear it.
Oh. Yes.
But it is funny to hear stuff. Sometimes I'm like, oh, God, is this going to be good? It comes on and I feel like I'm not really afraid to listen to stuff anymore. I go into thinking, oh, this will probably be funny. And it's, you know, and a lot of it, I'm sure, is that it's not that I don't trust Mike to be good on him, but, you know, now that there's nothing new coming out of him, it's always a little more special to hear him. Yeah. And yesterday I was getting ready for the show and listening to him laughing down here because Marcus and Brandon were stitching the show together. Oh, my God, that laugh is so infectious.
Oh, it is.
It's just the best.
So the salad, I didn't get to hear the extra show, the Mike show.
I haven't heard it either.
The salad story is in it, right, Brandon?
I don't know if the salad story
is in it. Oh, really, because I was requested by several friends.
I know the salad story is definitely in the...
It's in last year's.
Yeah, the October 16th of 2018 episode.
Demanding.
Which is easily accessible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
I mean, the show, the Day Mike Died is a really good show, I thought. I don't know how much Mike stuff we ran in that show. We ran a few things.
A wild day. Yeah we did. We played a lot.
That was a surprisingly good show to listen back to. But yeah, the special show after that was fantastic. And this one, I just heard some of the stuff coming out of the basement, and I liked it all. It sounded really good. And there was some stuff it was very unfamiliar, but fun to listen to. So that's cool.
Hey, did you see that story out of the Netherlands?
Oh, my God.
It's almost a bizarre, but then kind of a true crime story, too. There's a little twist to it where they haven't investigated quite what was going on there, but this...
Well, tell the story. Explain what happened. Well,
some guy escapes... Runs with the sky in the Netherlands. He runs into a bar. He orders 5 beers, drinks them down, and people are like, what's up with you? Because you're pretty scruffy looking. And he goes, I've just been held captive in a barn for 9 years. I haven't seen anybody else for 9 years except these people who are all in this barn with me.
His family.
His family, who apparently went into this barn in this like bunker 9 years ago because they thought it was going to be the end of the world and they were going to just ride it out.
The dad. This barn. The dad thought it was the end of the world.
Dad thought it was the end of the world. Yeah. The mom apparently died at some point along the way and the dad was ill when this guy escapes. And then they're like, what the hell? Go back. And they find these 6 siblings and some 58-year-old man who's from Austria.
Oh, that's not the dad? That's
not
a different
dad,
guy?
Apparently.
That's a different guy.
According to the investigators, not the guy, and he has been taken into custody because they're like, what's going on with this? All these kids.
What do you do? How do you eat for 8 years? I mean, it looks like they have their own little farm, maybe.
Yeah,
so
they were growing vegetables. I know, I read that.
And just animals. They were taking care of a certain amount of animals that then they would eat.
Underground?
So just a select few people were allowed outside?
In like a special yard.
Okay.
They said.
There were six kids who are 16 to 25.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, I can't believe this guy didn't bust out earlier. But then I thought about it. It's like, oh, they were 7 to 16 when they went in. Mm. And, you know, this overbearing parent. Or maybe parents. I don't know. Uh-huh. I kind of want to know what happened to mom.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was definitely unclear, and that shouldn't be very unclear.
it wasn't never a serious issue, but my one thought was, man, his timing was really bad because they should go in from now till 9 years from now.
I had two thoughts.
What were your thoughts?
One, this is very Turpin-esque.
Turpin
family that does. Mm-hmm. I mean. The disgust. I don't want to call the family disgusting. The parents were disgusting. Those kids. I think that those kids are actually recovering well. But also, I thought of
Terp's kids.
Yeah,
Terp.
Blast from the Past. Do you remember that movie with Brendan Fraser and Christopher Walken and Alicia Silverstone? It's basically Christopher Walken and his family go underground because they think that during the Cold War they're going to get nuked. So he builds this fantastic bunker. And they live there for, 15 years.
Yeah.
And then they finally send him out. I mean, it's kind of a goofy movie, but it reminded me of this because these kids have been stuck.
Well, there's that wolf pack in New York who were in an apartment for their entire lives, weren't they?
De Niro's buddies.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro's friends.
And then.
Yeah, he's friends with them.
There's a documentary about it.
The wolf pack in the apartment. And
they would transcribe movies and they would do plays. They would do scenes from movies and tape them, and they'd make costumes and stuff.
Boring.
We watched
them the one day.
Horribly boring to me. I would have opted out of that.
That's the reason for their dad to let them out, so he didn't have to sit through all those shows.
Maybe. But, the story, is that in
Finland? Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
Was this guy with the six kids, was that Finland?
It was the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, okay.
They were Dutch family.
My first thought was, God, I hope they had satellite TV.
But then they know that everything's fine.
Yeah, that it was cool to come out.
And iPhones, too, like to listen to podcasts. Right.
No.
I know. They could have caught up on our entire show.
These kids probably didn't even have Game Boys. They probably had that little game where you push the button and it blows in the water, the little rings, and you got to get the rings on the ledge.
Oh, my God. If they had no satellite, if they had no
they
TV down there. No movie channels, no nothing.
Just a stack of old porn.
How
so boring.
Boring would that be?
Really?
And by the way, what's the deal with this guy that gets out and wants five beers?
I know, first thing he does.
When he went in, he wasn't even of legal drinking age.
That's why.
Five beers would have got him annihilated, too.
Yeah.
No.
Unless, I don't know.
Well, maybe
did they make
him.
Alcohol?
Maybe he's saving them.
Do they make toilet wine at home?
I don't know.
Ooh, I bet they did.
Five beers.
Oh,
for
you'd have
who's
to get buzzed.
Drank.
You'd have to buzz if you didn't have any TV or any other distractions.
Did I miss anything else while I was dealing with my credit card fraud?
What? What happened?
It's twice now in the last 12 hours that I've gotten contacted by two different credit card companies because some asshole skimmed my card. So this lady had to go through about 30 charges in Tallahassee and Atlanta.
Oh, my God, really?
Oh, man.
Someone that took my card. And it's all like Zaxby's, Chick-fil-A, it's all these fast food places.
When the charges first started showing up on my credit card, I thought, this is fucking fraud. But then I looked a little bit closer at what was being purchased. Beer, Jaeger, lube, Magnum condoms, Whippets, business cards. And that's when I realized you were leaving me a trail of fucking breadcrumbs.
There's a small part of me that wants to go, oh, no, that purchase wasn't mine. The next one on the list, which is
whenever
at Costco here.
Sometimes if I go to Chicago or something and I charge a couple things and all of a sudden they'll call. They'll be like, we think it might be some fraud on your card. And I'm thinking, oh, they're just calling because I'm in Chicago. Then they run down the first couple of things. I'm like, I don't know what that. And they're like, oh, yeah. What's that? No, I don't know what that is. And I mean, I'm really, my mind is saying, this is bullshit. But God, I use my credit card a lot. Damn it.
True, you're right. Because the last statement I went through, I'm like, Julie, what is this thing in Warren? When were you in Warren? She goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, it says like party supply in Warren. You throwing a party in Warren, Michigan that I don't know about? It was something she had bought at one of those stands along Woodward, and that's just where it relates to. But you can't when you read that stuff, you don't know what the hell those places are. And I can't remember what I did 2 days ago.
Well, no. I got the one that was the most humiliating was when I was going through credit cards to do my taxes.
Oh yeah,
which is always when I find stuff because I'm on the subscribe to the Boston Globe. Oh my God, how far does this go back? Oh my God, it's 9 years. You know, I mean, it's always
that
something
should be
like
fraud
that.
Protected too.
It's fraud. It should be.
That except
should
you, you didn't read the fine print.
So then, well, you have to call and cancel it after you subscribe, which is such bullshit.
And you can't just cancel it on your card. You have to call them and cancel it.
Total bullshit.
Total bullshit.
So I'm going through my card for the year looking for, I write this off. You know, not so much now, but anyway, then you could. And I see $2,500 in this, you know, I don't know if it was like the Detroit Office of Hearing or, you know, hearing aid company. I'm like, what the fuck? Hearing aids? I never bought hearing aids. And I call Bank of America and they're like, we have this long conversation. And they're like,
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
I hear the phone ringing. They're calling these people to find out, what's this bullshit hearing aids are our card holder got? And as the phone is ringing, I'm like, oh, yeah, my mom's hearing aids.
Oh.
Did you pretend
while
you didn't?
The phone is ringing.
Did you pretend you didn't know?
No. I said, hang up. And they did. They hung up.
Wanted all kinds of, like, checks and credit cards and stuff.
Well, part of me, when they called and I got the alert on my phone, I'm like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm a little busy. And then I'm like, no, I don't want those assholes getting anything else for free. Because they won't catch who did it.
Was there? Did they have any fun at all, though? They just went to Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, they went to the Atlanta Aquarium.
Chick-fil-A, they're not gay-friendly?
If that's fun for them.
They don't have a conscience.
By the way, who boycotted Chick-fil-A? Who was it that...
recently?
Did you tell them? Brandon, I thought you told me
something.
Someone
boycotted Chick-fil-A?
Well, no. Somebody was served a meal for Chick-fil-A, like a big group, and they refused to eat it because it was from Chick-fil-A.
Well, what a child.
I can't remember
who it was.
The
food's already been bought. They already
have
the money.
No, I know.
Idiot. Nice conviction. I'm going to stand strong on my conviction.
I thought it was a...
like chicken's care.
Sports team?
I gotta admit. Oh, well, some team just... yeah. In Carolina? Could it have been the...
I don't know. It's kind of... if it's a sports team, that seems
weird. They did just open, I think, their first ever location in the UK. And so now the UK is having their first protest. You know,
And meanwhile, gay people are walking in there and eating 9 things off the menu, not even knowing or thinking about it. Oh, Chick-fil-A!
Yeah, they're upset that the owner, he donates money to Christian charities. And these Christian charities apparently just don't like abortion.
Haven't they seen that ad with the deaf guy? I love that ad. That's a very tear-jerking ad in the middle of a football game. Has no one seen that during a football game?
I don't think so.
The guy's signing, and you know how the Chick-fil-A does those ads where... you know, the people that work there are so friendly with their clients, and now they're like best friends. You never seen those ads?
I don't think I
have. Most of them are totally ridiculous, but the deaf guy one's kind of nice. The guy comes in and he's trying to write down what he wants, draw a picture, and the guy starts signing to him.
Yeah.
Ooh. So everyone at Chick-fil-A can sign.
No, that's what one girl did, and then the video went viral.
No, it was a guy in the ad.
Oh, really? Because
it's that middle one. That guy with the slick back hair. I mean, those guys look like they'd be best friends, right?
Because here's
an elderly black man.
Sounds like
a
lucky fluke to me. They just happened to hire a guy that had a hearing impaired person in his family
who also went viral there for doing the same thing.
Play the commercial. It's great. You guys will be in tears, crying. It's very moving.
Do I have to watch a commercial before this commercial?
I mean, the problem is,
yes, you do.
They're signing the whole commercial. So.
I was working and I see this guy. I was writing my order and I notice you watching. So I sign. How are you? Can I help you?
That was the sign for shit.
Oh, you know how to sign? I ordered chicken sandwich and fries, and we've been best friends ever since.
That worker's so getting off on this.
I know I'm not the best signer.
Good joke.
But you're good.
Seriously, Chichelle thought,
yeah.
How friend-starved are these two guys?
Very, very.
I mean, really, best
friends?
Well,
the one guy can't talk to anybody because no one knows how to sign wherever he is. And the other guy's too busy working at Chick-fil-A all the time.
My cousin is deaf, and he was in Chicago once, and he was at a McDonald's. And he does the same thing where he writes down what he wants. And it just so happened, this was late 90s, Michael Jordan walks in and has a conversation with my cousin on a napkin.
Oh my God!
Did he save it? That's probably worth something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he saved him. I mean, that's how we found out about the story when he came back from Chicago.
Oh, he needs to send us a picture of that. I want to see. I want to see that picture.
I wonder how awkward that was for Michael Jordan.
I think he liked it.
Yeah.
Did he keep writing the same thing over and over and over?
Right? I don't recall. I was really young when that happened.
Gatorade, is it in you?
He just kept writing this. Nope.
Gatorade, is it in you?
It was a cool story.
Like that penmanship.
Gatorade, is it in you?
No, too messy.
That's right.
What?
No.
Gatorade.
I got here.
Is it in you?
Right. Ready? Is it in? Is it
in you?
Ready? Gatorade, is it in you? No.
No, that's terrible.
Gatorade, is it in you? Gatorade, is it?
Is it?
Gatorade, is it in you?
Yeah.
One more time.
One more time.
Try the last thing you just said, just conversational. Gatorade. Yeah,
okay. Ready? Gatorade, is it in you? Gatorade. Gatorade, is it in you? Gatorade. Gatorade, is it in you? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Gatorade, is it in you? No.
It just sounds so weird.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
The more he says it, the weirder it sounds.
Gatorade.
I love her at the end here.
I do.
You did a couple great ones.
You did about 30 great ones.
Oh, man.
I saw a piece, by the way, that said LeBron is finally like Michael Jordan because he doesn't want to lose money on the China thing. Remember Jordan's famous comment about Republicans buy shoes, too? And I thought that was really cheap to equate the two things.
Republicans buy shoes too. I barely remember that.
You don't remember that with Jordan?
Really?
Yeah.
What's so horrible about that? Oh, because they buy Nikes?
Because he should have made a greater stance.
Stance about what? I can't remember against Republicans.
I can't remember exactly what the quote what it was in relationship to.
It seems like Republicans would buy Nikes.
Well, I think it was just cheap to compare the China thing to that.
Oh, I can't even imagine they're in the same world in terms of outrage. I don't recall that outrage.
I think the idea was he never made a social commentary. Yeah. When we know in reality he didn't because he was too busy gambling.
And he was too busy being Michael Jordan. I don't think he wanted to. I don't think a lot of these guys don't want to be in the middle of anything.
Yeah, Barkley though I think is a natural when it comes to,
I think LeBron
political situations.
As in touch as LeBron would have you believe he is, I don't think he had any idea how stupid he sounded. And then he says it again. We had a tough week. Yeah. We had a tough week. Wait, you're talking about some people protesting being shot at who have no freedom whatsoever, and you had a tough week. Oh, this tweet really put you out. I mean, it sounds so unaware.
A African-American mayor of Charlotte was running for a Senate seat against Jesse Helms, and he asked Michael Jordan for a endorsement, and he never endorsed anybody, and his response was, Republicans buy sneakers too, which that's his prerogative to not give an endorsement.
I mean, was he quoted, or did he say it on TV or something?
He's been quoted as saying that, yeah.
I don't even remember it, honestly, but yeah, I would expect him to sit out. I can't imagine him endorsing a candidate.
Hey, strike's over.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
I was just about to say that. They lost about... They said... They were saying...
yeah, what happened to this guy's song, man?
They must have got the shit right.
This song was very powerful in terms of settling it.
They're still out there, though.
They must have gotten that shit right.
They could stay out until it's tentative.
I know. Why... That's if they're saying it's settled, why don't they get the hell back to work? Because there are a lot of people who have nothing to do with this who are not working. Yeah. In fact, they mentioned 575,000 workers are affected by the strike. And they reference this one supplier that has 300 full and part-time people. They're down to 100 people working.
Oh, my God.
So wouldn't it be nice if they could at least work it out to the point that they could? I mean, really, there's so little trust that they have an agreement, but you can't go back. I'm not blaming the UAW for this. I'm blaming both of them.
Right. Can you imagine not going to work, not getting a paycheck because
No, you would not be very sympathetic. Especially when you don't make as much money as anybody.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of upset about that in years past, because when that stuff happened to me, I didn't see any improvement to my wages or my benefits. I was just waiting to go back to work. it kind of pissed me off.
But he doesn't work. I mean, he loves it. He loves it.
The way it's, I think a lot of people have trouble with the way it's framed, because you're supposed to feel bad for, you know, oh my God, these poor guys, you know, and all these people are out delivering food to them and, you know, supporting them. And it's not that I don't support them. It's just that I think for a lot of people who do that kind of work, it's just not terribly relatable.
I am not work material.
Because you don't have an organization as powerful as that.
So what did it cost?
I mean, look at what they, the UAW does a great job. I mean, you can't deny the fact that they get great things for their workers. So
how much did it cost our state's economy? Do we know yet?
You know, I don't know what that number is. It cost,
that number changed every day, what people at the company was losing.
They said it was 80 to a million a day. Now, they were on strike for 30 days. That's wow. That would be in the neighborhood of
$500 billion.
That'd be in the neighborhood of $2 to $3 billion. But they were saying today, I saw 1.2 and 1.6. It's like, why does the math never work in any way they set up the equation?
Their narrative, I guess.
But nonetheless, GM, how long does it take to make up $2 billion lost?
I don't know. Maybe they're back on inventory now, so they got to build new cars.
I mean, isn't it kind of amazing? They made $12 billion all last year, and they just lost somewhere close to $2 billion.
That's got to be inflated. That's got to be their numbers then.
Yeah.
I just mean the trickle-down aspect. Even the small businesses that run, you know, restaurants near a factory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do they get back?
But it sounds...
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
And the white-collar workers are bitching because they're concerned about their job security. There have been buyouts, 4,000 buyouts, I think, recently. Yeah. And so they're thinking...
No one cares about them.
Well, if... No, nobody will be bringing lunch or...
No. I mean, that's sad, though.
I mean, that's life. That's just the way it is. But anyway, it sounds like they did pretty well, and they're supposed to get a signing bonus, which, again...
Signing bonus?
Don't you wish you had a union and you signing could get a bonus. Signing bonus when you... I know. I mean, how many people get a signing bonus?
Were they free agents?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they were, because they were on strike.
Seen a lot of signing bonus, a lot with engineers too, because
engineers, I mean, it's a little different.
Are you saying you know someone that got one?
I know a lot of people have got signing bonuses. I worked at a company that everybody was getting signing bonuses.
Did someone in your family get one?
No.
Well, I wish everyone got a signing bonus.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you got profit sharing too? So, you know, I think they've done pretty well, and it's good for the economy. It's good for these people.
Yeah,
they're all families that live here, and you know, they buy things, so it's not something to be bummed out about. And the healthcare thing is the amazing thing, because we heard healthcare was GM has got to get them to pay more for healthcare. Healthcare is so expensive, and apparently healthcare is going to go untouched. So they're going to continue to pay.
This will happen again.
3%. I also heard 4% of their healthcare. The average worker pays 34% for healthcare. That's a great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, they've always had better health care. And I mean, I don't know. I'm for anybody getting anything they can. And
they got it.
UAW did very well. They've always done well. And it looks like they did pretty well again. But it'll be good just to get everybody back to work.
Yes.
Get all the other people back to work. I'm sure it'll make everyone feel better. Did anybody see the...
I'm not work material.
she doesn't want to go back to work.
No. Did anybody see Mitch Albom's story on the Lions?
No. Great.
He's got a new term, Lions Luck. And he repeated it many, many times in the article.
Cool.
Lions Luck.
Right, great. He invented it. Neat.
But
I invented something, too.
What'd you invent?
Maybe Mitch should know about. That the refs phantom handed the game to Green
Bay.
Ooh.
That's way better.
So,
well,
I don't even know what that means.
TM copyright.
Phantom hand. What is that?
Oh.
Phantom hand. The phantom hand on the face mask?
Yeah.
What is, hands
what
to
is
the face?
The phantom hand?
Because he didn't really commit.
I know they showed
the
play,
face.
But I couldn't see it.
His hand was not on the face mask.
It was on his shoulder,
his shoulder pad. And they said he grabbed his face mask or hands to the face. However, the NFL says the hands-to-the-face penalty should have been called the last time, not the first time.
Okay, great, whatever.
I don't know. I'm not sure why. Does anyone know why was determined?
There is one photo that's circling around the interwebs, and it seems like Trey Flowers has his hand on the guy's face briefly. So there was a screenshot that somebody took. I don't know if that's the first one where Rodgers got sacked or the second
one. It is the first one.
That's clear that the ref saw that precise moment, and that's why he threw the flag.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's what they said.
Cookie hands.
Cookie grabbing hands. Did you see the real victim in the whole Lions referee thing? The 9-year-old that wrote the letter to the NFL?
I don't think I saw that.
Very sad, Drew. I'm just going to read the letter.
Do you have money on the game? Was he on my bookie? Was he on my account?
Everett's the kid's name. Dear NFL, my name is Everett Conklin. I don't know.
How old is this kid?
I'm a 9-year-old Detroit Lions fan. My dream is to grow up to become an NFL player. However, my dream is on hold because of the bad reffing Monday night, October the 14th.
Why should that put his dream on hold?
The Lions were fudged. You're fudged on many calls that either should have been a penalty or shouldn't have. I would just like to check.
Brandon.
It's disrespectful.
Is there some reason?
To Everett.
That had to happen?
I'm sorry, Everett.
No, you're not.
Continue your story.
I would just like to check in on the amount of training refs are receiving. By the way, REF apostrophe. Just saying. If you are giving them a lot of training, then maybe consider taking them to an eye doctor. Starting to like this kid.
Is Dr. Galdo.
Is that the end of Everett's letter?
No. If you are not giving them the right and underlined, amount of training, then we have a problem. You are frustrating people all around the country. People who agree with me are Booger McFarland, Joe Tessitore, and many, many others, the two announcers that night.
Is this guy's name really Booger? That's a dumb question, but
it's a nickname. In this which way, I think we need a solution. Please write me back as soon as possible, underlined. And then he wrote, P.S. Is this hands to the face? And he drew a stick figure drawing up the penalty.
Well, good for him.
I just don't know why his dream's on hold.
Is Everett's last name on there? Can we find Everett?
Everett Conklin. Yeah, we can find him.
Why don't we give him a call?
Let me look for him. By the way, Booger's name is Anthony.
I don't think his dream should be on hold.
No. Or maybe have a new dream, become an official.
You have to learn how to overcome adversity if that's his dream.
Of course.
He wants him to go to an eye doctor.
Disappointment.
Well, that's one thought. I was really laughing when reading the comments with Mitch's column and also with Dave Burkett's column about it being a conspiracy.
Oh God!
For gamblers, for one.
Oh, come on.
Which you would have been on. And then also people claiming it's payback for Matt Patricia wearing the Goodell clown T-shirt. Back in the New England days.
You really think that they could orchestrate something like... People say that? They think
they believe that. They
think the NFL and the refs can orchestrate something...
I guess they can.
...specific.
Yes, according to the commenters. Okay. Multiple commenters.
And if it was about betting and throwing the line off, wouldn't they be really safe and make it not even close?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how these conspiracies work, so...
I mean, if it's about the line... Well, no, because they didn't cover... Oh, it's about the over-under...
I understand this conspiracy theory. people also got so angry because Dave Burkett's story was about how the Lions, that they have to take responsibility for this, that he was running down the five field goal drives and, three plays, 2 yards, four plays, 1 yard, seven plays, 13 yards after the turnovers. And so he was saying that, the Lions have to win games where there's a bad call or two or three. And, did that make people mad? one guy wants Dave Burkett fired.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
First column.
Okay. For opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. So there's some great comments on this little boy's letter, too.
Good.
Click on Detroit, the first one. If you give up your dream of being a football player because of bad ref calls, you aren't going to survive life. Life isn't fair. You got to make do with what you can.
It's what the message I was trying to send.
We all said, yeah.
Do we have his number?
I can't find him.
I've been unable to locate his parents yet.
If this is all it takes to quash his dream, then his parents need to teach him to become more determined and deal with life's disappointments.
Amen.
Otherwise, he'll never survive in today's world. Every job has its ups and downs.
Who do you write the letter to?
You know what? Click on Detroit is the one that posted it, so I don't know where they got it from.
Hmm.
And then there's some guy here that's like, take it from me. I've been a Lions fan at your age. Now, 50 years later, it's not the refs, kid. He's just one of those old timers that
offering sincere advice. Yes. is the last name spelled uniquely? No. I mean, do we know what town he's from?
No.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I'll keep looking.
58 yards of offense in the second half. Lions suck, and their fans are fools. The next guy. Someone started GoFundMe.
Oh, there's also the people, you know, I've been Lions free since 2011, and I feel so good. Just having a great time.
That's such a lie.
I know. They watch every game.
Every week.
They're screaming the loudest.
And they sit there very smugly saying, I'm Lions free.
Pardon me?
Oh, nothing.
I heard it.
Oh, what did you say?
Bob Page.
Oh, Bob Page. Trudy's Lions free.
No, I watched the game.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. So you were as angry as that 9-year-old.
Until I think I watched it. I watched it until Green Bay did the touchdown, got a touchdown, and then I was like, yeah, pack this in, go to bed.
Say till Green Bay did the touchdown?
It's in the bank. Did the touchdown. Yes.
We should have Trudy do play by play.
Do the touchdown.
No, don't you dare.
That's a great idea.
No, he scored the touchdown. I actually was watching that game thinking I could do play by play.
You could have been better than those two guys.
I think you
pretty
could.
Pretty good about it. But then I kept seeing, you know, Booger, like I had.
Oh, yeah. He's awful. Although you could be as good as predicting plays as Booger McFarland because he got every single one wrong.
I don't know why I enjoyed listening to him, but he was very wrong very often. But there's something kind of, he's very animated.
His old radio host hates his guts, by the way.
Who's his old radio host?
Some guy he did a show with for like 6 months, and he had this scorched earth when he got the job and how he just runs over people to get to what he wants.
Whoa.
It's like, well, yeah, but he's on Monday Night Football now.
My friend Booger Wheeler got left by a lady, sent him straight to the needle, and he died with his eyes open wide.
You know, I was reading about, and I don't know why this cop popped up because he was sentenced a while ago. Is it Greg Carton?
Yeah, Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason's partner.
Yeah.
Did he get 3 years in prison?
I think so.
That is the
weak
what
sentence.
What is wrong with that guy?
Well, he had to chase.
So
he
it was
make,
basically
he
was losing a zillion dollars gambling.
Yep.
He was making $1 million or something, wasn't he?
As a radio host.
Yeah, right? he was making a lot of money.
Mornings in New York.
He also put out a book, and I don't know why, but I think it was in the airport, and I needed something to read, and so I bought his book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it seemed really half-ass. Like,
well, he's busy making a
like, there was a lot of distance scam. Between the lines, you know, like one of those term papers where you double space to make
move.
It seem longer.
Curry
yeah, I wasn't fooled by that move. It was a money grab!
Well, he needed the money, clearly.
Chasing. But that's quite incredible. I wonder... I guess someone will hire him anyway, or will Boomer take him back when he gets out?
No, because Boomer's got a new partner. Aren't they doing pretty well, too?
You know, I'm not sure.
Who's Boomer's partner?
Boom! Hot take!
I don't know who his partner is.
What he was doing, though, was running a ticket agency, and he was like McFarlane, the Fyre Festival guy, who's selling people tickets he didn't have.
Didn't have, yeah.
I don't know how people think that's going to turn out.
Oh, that's Billy McFarlane? That's
well,
his move,
no,
right?
No, Greg Carton did the same thing. Is it Greg Carton?
Carton.
Yeah.
Something.
Carton
is it,
Milk.
Is Greg his first name?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Billy McFarlane move.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're gonna get so busted.
I'm sorry, Craig.
It's also the Arch Schliester move. Arch Schliester's done it twice.
Arch Schliester
started
has tons
a ticket
of moves.
Agency. Yeah, he does a lot of moves.
It's Craig Carton, and the new host with Boomer is Greg Giannotti. So.
Oh, okay.
I think Arch Schliester's best move was just writing checks and bouncing them.
Yeah.
fraud checks.
Well, you know, worry about it tomorrow.
And stealing checks and writing them to himself.
That's a great American greed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. His book's really good. And then he got busted after he wrote the book.
Yeah. He was threatening this lady. I think they didn't tell her. She was some lady who... Her husband had died, and I don't know, he did her some favor, and so she was like, oh, thank you, Arch Schliester. And, you know, there's some idiots in Ohio who still think, oh, Arch Schliester is a great quarterback. I still revere him. He's just a bad gambler. Anyway, he ended up really threatening this lady eventually. At first, it's like, I got these Super Bowl tickets, and don't your friends want to buy some? and then, of course... Let's see. It ended up that he was, I think he said he was being threatened and, you know, I just need $5,000 and, oh, and then he had investments and she ends up giving him like $2 million.
Whoops.
Yeah. And he blew it all.
Why didn't he double it?
And he got money from her friends too. He got her and he was yelling at her like, you got your friend to give you $5,000, bitch. And she was scared of him.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the dumbest story ever. That's what he's in prison for now, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. He's there until October 4th of next year. And but never forget, he has delivered a championship to the city of Detroit.
Ah, yes, the drive.
He was the quarterback and MVP of the Arena Bowl.
And that lady's broke. That lady's broke. Her husband left her in good shape with plenty of money. Now she's broke.
Is her name Anita? Does that sound familiar or no?
Don't recall her name.
It sounds like, I think that's her. She's the widow to the former CEO of Wendy's. How is she broke?
Dave Thomas?
She had a couple million bucks. No, not Dave Thomas's wife. Oh. She was not. I would remember that. But yeah, he left. I remember thinking, I'm surprised he didn't leave her more money than that because of his position.
Quick rundown. So this is from Wikipedia. 2010, Schleister sensed he was nearing the end of his tether. In a desperate attempt to stem for the tide, he promised to get tickets for the Super Bowl, like you were saying. However, when that scheme collapsed, he turned himself in. He admitted that he probably used some of the money to gamble. Probably, definitely. On September 15, 2011, he pled guilty to state charges of theft and engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity, sentenced to 10 years in state prison. A month later, he pled guilty to federal charges of wire fraud, bank fraud, and filing a false tax return. Admitted using the money he obtained from the ticket scam to either gamble, pay back previous debts, or buy personal items. Also admitted to falsifying his 2008 tax return, hiding $38,000 in income from the government. While under house arrest awaiting assignment to state prison, he tested positive for cocaine.
Oh, God. Jeez, what a train wreck.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, he looks really beat up now, too.
He had to pay $2.2 million in restitution. You don't have $2.2
No.
He must have been the worst gambler. I remember he had some stories in this book. Like some of his gambles, and they were terrible.
Oh yeah, he's horrible. He lost everything all the time.
Remember, when he thought the mob was chasing him at the horse track.
Oh yeah, that's a funny story.
He had a big escape from the horse track. It turns out no one was following him. He was escaping from no one.
Yeah, he saw some strange looking guy was staring at him or something.
Yeah.
He's jumping over barbed wire fences.
Yes, that's
and
right. Yes.
He's running through. Thorny bushes for like a mile.
That's pretty good though, huh?
Yeah.
You know, bad. I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't fall back asleep, so I started reading Catch and Kill again.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh, there's two new Lauer stories out today.
I gotta tell you, the Lauer stories in here, I'm really dying to know. I hate this when someone says, they did this, and then they, as an NBC, says, we didn't do that. And it's like, I want to know what really happened here, because these two guys are still running the news division, and they clearly were told by Harvey Weinstein, and NBC had a company-wide policy, no more reporting on Weinstein.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing this story. And he mentions in the book, and I remember when this happened, that Saturday Night Live didn't even do a joke about Harvey Weinstein. And it sounds like it was something that nobody was allowed to do.
Wow.
And Hillary Clinton is in there, too. Her campaign, actually, at some point, Ronan Farrow is supposed to interview her for a book on foreign policy.
Yeah.
And her people tell him that, this Harvey Weinstein thing is really not good for us. As in, like, they're trying to tell him to back off the Harvey Weinstein, and then she won't do the interview.
Wow.
Yeah, because Harvey told her not to. Wow. I mean, it's just incredible.
It was intimidating, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. There's this one letter. This is so funny. At one point, Harvey, they'll use anything. I mean, they've got these Israeli...
Mossad, yeah.
Yeah, the Mossad. These guys are... I mean, these are really brutal people, and they're also incredibly good. And their work, as far as being trustworthy, they're forced to take polygraphs. In other words, have you told anyone about your work for Harvey Weinstein? Yes. Or, no. And then if the polygraph says yes, then see ya.
Wow.
Jeez.
No, I know. It's incredibly intense, this black cube. I'm looking for the letter that Ronan got from the Weinstein attorneys, who are also not my favorite people.
Do you want to know who the what the new Lauer story is today? Because it's not from the book.
Oh, what's the new Lauer story?
You know what it is, Drudy?
Well, yeah. I want to know.
H6 has a story that Matt Lauer had an affair with a very well-respected NBC broadcasting star.
Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Correct.
They've agreed not to name the broadcaster at her request, but a TV source said Matt had influence over everyone's career. One word in your career would be junk. There's a clear imbalance of power with this woman's relationship with Matt.
What's the list?
Wait, but she's a major talent?
So, I bet you it's Hoda.
No, she was a major talent that left in 2012.
Well, that would be hard to figure out.
And signed a non-disclosure. Well, you know who left in 2012 is Amy Robach.
Oh, he'd like Amy Robach, okay.
Yeah, but she's married to
Andrew Shue. What's he going to do?
Against Lauer?
He's probably a cuckold by choice, too.
That would be a really bad fight.
Mommy blog.
That'd be a
weak so one. Soft.
Lauer would destroy him in a fight.
Oh, my God, that's true.
No, Lauer
isn't that crazy, though?
He is. For NBC to act like, we didn't know anything until she came. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? There are so many chicks he hits on.
Well, he wanted Pippa Middleton there, too. He's like, hey, can you get her a job here at NBC? I want her in here. Like, pronto.
So
I got that ass.
Did you hear about that with Pippa? What's it? Pippa or Peppa? Peppa Pig. Pippa. He had this private dinner with her publicist, and I don't know, people at the Today Show, because he wanted her to work there.
Work, in air quotes.
So two things that brought it down. Oh, Buckingham Palace was worried about it. Because, you know, her sister's the future queen, allegedly. And the other problem was they did a test-like story with her that just bombed. Yeah, somewhere out west they had her doing it. Just blew up on her. But Matt Lauer liked her ass at the wedding and wanted to
her ass looks really good at the wedding.
I mean,
might be the best ass moment of all time.
I can't completely criticize Matt Lauer.
He's covering the royal wedding, and all he's focused on is that ass and how bad he wants it to come work for. And
damn, that was a lot of ass.
This is the perfect.
I mean,
ass
if you can make
right
that happen, it's pretty impressive.
That's pretty hilarious when Brandon's going through her picture, and all there are pictures of her ass.
Yeah.
And the fact
many people have pictures of their faces, but. Pippa's ass.
I mean, isn't it
only
amazing that it got as far as for her to actually do a tryout?
I know.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. I got to hand it to Lauer for that one.
Lauer power.
Plus, he took a helicopter to work every day, which makes Maz so mad.
More
Maz will forgive him for anything with the chicks. It's the helicopter that makes him so mad. I don't know why.
It's okay if Billy Joel does it.
Right.
Yeah,
totally
Billy
fine.
Joel
it's
earned
a residency
it
to get to. Come on.
Matt Lauer's, he would make Maz's hate list, wouldn't he?
I flew in on a helicopter.
I'm pretty sure he would.
Probably.
You know, I almost forgot about our friends at Zot Ford. Gabar, Anthony, and all our friends at Zot Ford and Holly pride themselves on making buying and leasing vehicles simple, easy, and fun, all while saving you time and money. And now, Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County are taking it to another level when they allow you to pay what they pay. We're talking, you know, the old A plan. If you're shopping for a fresh new Ford and you've seen an advertised price only to be told you don't qualify because you aren't a Ford employee, well, you can kiss that garbage goodbye with Zot Ford's employee pricing for everyone. For example, everyone can lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $89 a month for a 24-month lease. Or what about a new 19 Ford Ranger Super Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $155 a month, also for 24 months. Hurry, Zot Ford's employee pricing for everyone won't last long. See details in massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Yaldo, he's been with the show for a couple of years. Many, many, many have gone in for custom cats LASIK, the most precise in the world, or the lens exchange for people 45 plus who have had it with their reading glasses. And Dr. Yaldo has done so many of our people, but he's also done the most of anyone in Michigan. He's number one. Over 30,000 LASIK procedures, tens of thousands of lens exchange and cataract procedures, and the promise, not the promise of low cost, but the reality of low cost, because a lot of people are offering low-priced LASIK, And then you go and find out what the real price is. If you have shopped for it and you think you have a price that would be below Dr. Yaldo's, he promises, Drew and Mike listeners, he'll be any LASIK offer you get. So get the best and pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to yaldoeyecenter.com. Oops. Whoa. I just knocked my glasses off the table. Thanks, Joey. Jen mentioned that I don't plug our Instagram.
Oh,
at the end of the show. So it's Drew and Mike. Drew and Mike Show?
Yes.
Instagram?
Okay. Drew and Mike Show.
Drew ampersand or and? Do and.
A-N-D.
A-N-D. We're close to 6,000 people. I know.
She's doing great work.
That account was dormant.
I know. Yeah. She's doing really good work.
Kennedy puffed it up a little bit, and then it went dormant again. Oh. And now Jen's been working hard on that account.
Speaking of Kennedy.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Somebody's 21st birthday this weekend.
My God, she finally gets to drink.
Yeah, she's going to have her first ever beer.
Isn't that great that she can finally have a brewski?
Have you been watching her Twitter lately?
No, what's she been tweeting about?
I do. I like her Twitter.
I like watching her Twitter, and I like buzzing in on her friends' Twitters, too. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It's just hilarious seeing 20-year-old females on Twitter.
Yeah. There's some heartbreak going on there, though. Isn't there? Brandon?
Well, she'll tweet about her relationship status and stuff like that.
What is it?
There's new heartbreak?
I just think that there's dudes that have been mean to her in the past.
And then seeing them on social media, she had there was a tweet about that.
Oh.
It was kind of sad.
Really?
Yeah, I felt bad.
She's a fun follow because often I'll be going through my feed and I'm like, what is this? Why is this on?
Oh, I know. Kennedy retweeted it. Always.
Yeah, she's a dog.
I'm seeing so many people on Twitter like Screech that I'm getting pissed. Like, why do they have more followers than I have? How can that moron have more followers than me?
Can we go through those, Brandon? I just saw the one you pulled up.
I know. I found a couple there's a couple new Twitter cameos. Here.
Oh, new cameos?
Yeah, here's one. Let's
and what one we're going to have to buy just to see if he says something.
All right. Oh. Dang it. I hate how I can't get these things to work.
Dang it. What's the problem?
Dang it. You want me to do it?
Yeah, I can't get them to
work. Hit your computer harder. That usually helps.
And I'm willing to do a cameo for you if you'd like.
Artie.
If you got a bookie you owe money to. If you owe a drug dealer money. If you want to say happy birthday to someone with a horribly deformed nose, if you want to, I don't know, have me try to caress with my wonderful smooth words your lover, man or woman, I don't care. I'm up for sale. I'd love to help you help others in your life, let you, I don't know, come into the life in a very smooth
way. Your new nose looks great.
Voice I can do characters. I can do a gay voice.
Look at his eyes. Voice, he looks great.
Female voice or my voice. Whatever you want, I'm here for you. I'll do a cameo for you. Check me out. I love you all.
He looks straight up sober.
I think Artie's trying to get hot, too.
Really?
Good.
I think he's trying to get hot.
And he knows
He's working on his appearance, and he's going to get his nose fixed. The guy that does that kind of cosmetic surgery won't do it until he's sober for a year, maybe?
Really?
6 months?
He looks, just looking at his eye, I don't know, he just looks
he looks
like
good.
He's, like
he looks
he's
good.
Sober and... Yeah, good for him. He's $150 on Cameo.
Just slightly concerned that he might start thinking he's hot. All right, like when he gets his nose done.
Let's see if anybody wants this one here.
He's spending a lot more attention on his hair. Yeah.
His beard looks good.
His beard looks good, too.
Hey, y'all. This is Boyd Tinsley. I'm a founding member of Dave Matthews Band.
Is he in Full Jerk?
I'm currently a member of a band called The Way Back featuring Boyd Tinsley. And if
you are Boyd Tinsley, mouthful. It'd be featuring me.
Well, if you go to any of them,
a lot of headspace there.
Streaming services, but we're on there. We have a song called
"This is an ad for your stupid band, Tinsley."
He takes up the bottom 20% of the
their ceiling.
This violin for you guys, which has a really cool portrait of Napoleon on the back.
Napoleon. Why Napoleon?
Who cares?
So,
I'd rather didn't have Napoleon on the back, wouldn't you?
Yes.
$50 for Boyd. Think we can get him to say Full Jerk Mode?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Gosh, I don't know.
I'll put in.
Is he?
I don't want to just see if I'll do it.
What's going on with Boy Tinsley? He's not back with the band, is he?
No, I don't think so.
No. But as Gary said, he is eligible to be one of the members that's inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Is he in trouble for that stuff? Because it was some pretty dubious stuff.
I don't know.
Can you remind me?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what happened.
Well, he
kind of saved the story.
He kind of recruited people for his side band because he wanted to have gay sex with them.
Right.
And so, you know, he was the one guy was sleeping and he's beaten off next to his head. Yeah. And
not cool.
And then he's asking the other guy for hot pictures, and he said he was in full jerk mode looking at a picture right then.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. So in June of this year, he reached a settlement in his sexual harassment case.
With the guy in the band?
I'm trying to read it, but I have to.
Yeah, the guy thought, wow, I must be a great player. Boy Tinsley wants to meet in his band. And then it was an endless parade of gay moves on him.
Yeah, here's
the
what
guy wasn't gay.
Here's what he texted him. You in San Francisco? Don't mention to your bandmates, but I need your face. It's like the hook. You're all good looking, but you got the magnetic attraction. Can you take some pictures and videos of yourself and send it to me? It's really hot when you wear dirty socks, by the way.
Water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
What?
A 5-second shot of your face garnered 15,000 views in a day. Started at 200. Your band needs your face. Dude, you're the bait. Our secret weapon. And he wrote, I'm in San Francisco. I just got here. How can I send you the photos? How's the tour? Tour's going great. We've been rocking every show. Can't wait for Sunday. Thanks for the pics. I'll get two rooms somewhere. Gonna take more pictures of you. Let me know when the swelling is gone and your neck is better. Would like to do it next week. You're such boner material, and I want you at your best.
Hot.
I'm actually masturbating to the thought of your shots. Probably will have you shave your pubes, at least above the cock base. I want you sagging some, with that being obvious, that you aren't wearing underwear.
Wait.
Jeans are dirty, shirt is dirty, but your face and hair are immaculate. Angelic. You get the vibe? We're going for huge throbbing boner shit.
Holy.
You're the dirty pretty boy of the band. I have to sexually exploit you as much as I can without looking like I'm sexually exploiting you. I'm in full jerk mode right now. Catch you later.
Wow. Jeez.
It really seems like it's about Boy Tinsley getting a rod.
Yeah, no, it is. It's totally about Boy Tinsley getting a rod.
Guy's just like, I'm going to be in town. Thanks a lot. How's the show? And then it's like, well.
Could that be who it is?
I think it is.
Oh,
really? You got the date? Is it Friday?
Yeah.
Andiamos?
Yes. Showroom in Warren.
Just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
So, Mr. Andrew Dice Clay joins the show.
Yeah.
What? Dice!
What? Boys, what's going on?
How are you?
How you doing, Dice?
I'm actually good. I'm hanging out. I should come there now.
Cool.
No, because I gotta come over for the Andiamo thing on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just mentioned Friday night at Andiamo's, and yeah, people love doing those gigs. I know most people do them, and they come back. Have you played there before?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. I love that place. Best food and the greatest comic. What's better than that?
No, it's awesome. And Dice, you live in infamy on this show because we were supposed to do an interview with you. When was that, Mark? Was it like 95?
It was a long time ago.
And we were waiting for your call, and things were getting a little bit late. And so we called the number, you know, we're supposed to call. And some guy with a really heavy New York accent said, "Hang on, Dice is washing his balls right now."
In 95?
I want to say it was 90s for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So,
wow.
Are those balls clean?
You know what? I always have them shined up one way or another. You know, it could be the shower, it could be a tongue. I don't care. Either way is good.
Anyway, when people are late for something, frequently it's suggested that they might be washing their balls. I mean, you've lived that long.
But you know what it is? It's an important part of the human body that I don't think people pay enough attention to, if you really think about it.
I have to agree with you.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's in the middle of everything. It sweats. You know, it's an important part. And, I mean, you know, chicks sometimes appreciate the musky ball, I got to say. But, you know, because, you know, today's generation, they're just animals, as you know that.
Yes,
you
know, they are monsters.
The new, whatever they call themselves, I just call them piglets. You know, the generation that grew up on, you know, pornography on the internet, all that stuff.
Yeah, but they are animals.
If you meet an old school chick, you know, with old school values, like a regular piglet, like let's say from the early 2000s, you know, they want a cleaner, maybe even, you know,
manicure.
A little cologne. Yeah, a little cologne on the, you know, on the actual, you know, I don't know what I could say. On
you
the,
say anything. Anything. Balls.
Ball,
yeah,
ball,
balls.
Ball. There are two. That's the way I keep them anyway, up to date.
Amen. Dice, it seems like we need you more than ever now because we have all these comedians saying, oh, I can't make any jokes. Oh, I'm afraid of offending people. Oh, people call me this or that or, you know, because I made a joke about this. And it seems like, you know, when I heard about Roseanne and Dice going out and that sort of thing, people were excited about that. They're like, oh, somebody who's going to maybe be funny and not care.
But you know what it is? Yeah, well, this is the thing. You know, I know what's going on today. I could explain it to you with the nonsense of the political correctness movement, which is just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I went through it 30 years ago by myself.
Yeah.
Okay? And I had the whole world after me, and you know that. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, 1,000 articles to back that up. You know, so it's like I've sort of been grandfathered into this generation now because let's say you're like a new comic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been struggling and working on your act and you finally get a shot on a cable station, but the powers that be turn around and they take what might be your best bit because it is politically incorrect and they go, well, we're either going to cut that bit out if you do it, or we're not giving you the special. You know, so comics have their back against the wall because everything's gone upside down, and they're cutting out the funny. Like, you know, recently I actually saw a comic that didn't even have an audience on HBO, Drew Michael.
Uh-huh.
You know, have you heard of this guy?
Mm-mm.
Amazing.
No.
It's just
really good.
Yeah, he was great.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was alone. No audience.
Hmm.
You know, it was it's the first of a kind.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Drew Michael. Look him up, like, on Instagram. And
yeah.
I loved it. I'm not like, I met the guy in New York the last time I was there, but my sons, who, they're not even comics. They have a rock band. No one cares. That's the name of their band, actually.
No,
I'm not even kidding. They just did Sonic Temple Festival. They've done Ozfest, all that. But the name of the band is no one cares. Anyway, I'm going up to my room one night, and my son Max goes, Dad, just take a look at this guy for a second. And it's like, you know, I don't know, 3:30 in the morning with like an after-hours club in my house. And next thing you know, I'm watching the whole special because the guy was just that different and that great, you know. But most comics, when they do a special, I'm not laughing. And I know it's not the comic. It's the bits that are taken out by the network, you know, because today they are, you know, just cutting out the funny.
Yeah.
So what's happened is mediocre has become the new great. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely. People, I want to mention Mark, Dave Chappelle's special, which was incredible.
Yeah.
The critics gave it a 38 on Rotten Tomatoes, and then we're looking at who's the politically correct lesbian.
Hannah, yeah, I can't remember. Hannah Gadsby, I think. Is that
she had 100 from the critics and
not,
a 60 from the audience.
It's not stand-up. It's a lecture.
Yeah, but you know what? When me and Roseanne did our few shows together and we got written up with it, they write it up. They write the jokes and everything, but they write it like a statement. They don't write it. And it was funny. I was laughing because they're not writing it like it's comedy routines. They're writing it like these are statements rather than jokes. You know, so it's all messed up. You know, it's just dumb. You know, I wore my leather jacket that has the First Amendment on it on one of the shows, you know, just to, because that's what I had to do years ago, mm-hmm. you know, just to prove my point. But it's just dumb. I mean, people are allowed to laugh. You know, supposedly we are in a country where you can say freedom of speech, you know, mm-hmm. the amendment, you know, but, you know, with our country, we take all the trends. To me, it's a trend, the political correctness thing. Just no. gone too far.
I agree.
It's gone too far.
It's a phase.
You know, but I don't, you know, you come to see me, I don't back up, you know, and I say what I want. I do what I want. I've done that my whole life. And I really don't care what anybody says. I just don't.
That's why your fans have your back.
Well, that's why the Andiamo's always packed, or wherever I go around the country is always packed, because I deliver, you know, and I don't live off of my material from the 90s. I'm very current, you know. Yes, they'll get their nursery rhymes, because that's almost like that's the song they could sing with me. It just became that through the years, so I don't mind giving that to the crowd at the end, but. You know, everything else is—it's all new. It's all, you know, it's all relevant to what goes on today. And it's not a political act, you know. But I talk about the attitudes of women today versus what they were years ago. You know, it's like when I even talk about women, I go, "Do you understand? Today they bang back." You know, it's not 30 years ago where you go, now you get on top. You know what I mean? And they don't move, you know. Today, they bang back. It's no joke. Because they compete with each other today.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I look. Oh, my God. Hey, look, I've lived it. You know, in between all my marriages and all the cheating, I'm no good. You got to understand. You know, I'm just no good. You know, I don't want to say the F word.
Oh, go ahead.
You can say it.
I even say it to my
You can say the F word.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what's going on right. No, I say to my sons, I go, look, your father's a good guy, but yet I'm no fucking good. And they're like, what do you mean you're no good? I go, I'm no good. I cheat on everybody. You know, the smoking that I stopped smoking.
Whoa. But, you did? You
know, I like holding cigarettes, but I'm not into the smoke anymore.
What made you stop? How did you stop, Dice? Because I still smoke and I hate myself.
It wasn't any of the bullshit, but a patch of a Chantix bullshit or a piece of gum. You know, it was, I just woke up and said, I'm not smoking anymore. I just have that willpower to just quit. And I quit that day. And that's like, I don't know, two and a half years ago.
Wow.
And, I just don't want it anymore. I'd rather smoke a joint if I'm going to smoke anything. You know, because now I like that. Like, I never really got into that my whole life. So I figured get into smoking weed, you know, and get the chick to smoke the weed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, here's some paste. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I like smoking weed. When I quit cigarettes, I always liked weed because I had a chance to smoke something at least. So, I mean, I understand it from that standpoint. Hey, I got to mention A Star Is Born because that was a big deal. And it was great to see you in the movie.
It was great.
No, it was, you know what? The last 10 years with all the acting stuff and the great, you know, like Star Is Born and, you know, Vinyl with Scorsese was amazing.
Blue Jasmine.
You know, I've gotten to work with some of the greatest ever. So I like it. But, you know, unless I'm going to do something really fun or really great again, I'd rather just be on stage. You know, I hate standing around a set. I just don't like the waiting. You know, hurry up and wait is the big line. And it really is that. And then I did Dice, my own show, for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was really good.
And, people are saying, you know, you got to do more of that. And I'm like, you know, maybe. But, you know, and actually, this is nuts because all these years, people actually want a Ford Fairlane Part 2. So, like, I'm actually doing meetings about it. I'm like, all right, you really want it. Let's do it, you know. But that would be fun because of what they, you know, that was like a real pop culture movie for the times. And so I would do that again. That would be exciting.
The other great pop culture thing you did was the Celebrity Apprentice, and the cast of characters on that season was one of the best. I mean, Joan Rivers was on there, Dennis Rodman, Tom
Green. Joan was the greatest.
Yeah.
She was the greatest. And Tom is one of my best friends.
Love Tom.
You know, so, yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing comic. I remember, you know, actually he wasn't doing stand-up when we did The Apprentice, you know. And this is like, I don't know, like, we were really, you know, you got to understand how long ago that was. That was like 14 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did it, you know, we'd be on the set and I'd be like, so Tommy, are you going to hit the road? You know, because it would get a huge audience, you know. I go, so when you get fired, are you going to tour? And he goes, I don't do stand up. And I'm looking at him like, then why are you here? You know? Like, I did it, you know, like, number one, I got the call that Donnie needed me. And, yeah, that I'm like the only one that calls him that.
Well, and he hated it too. He does not like being called that.
No, he doesn't mind Donnie.
Okay. He said he took it as a sign of disrespect.
No. I'm calling him Donnie since 90, you know.
Hey, look.
What happened was, ever since Donnie, all right, this is what happened with Donnie. Right? No, this is like, this has got to be 90. All right. So I go over there. He wanted me to play like the Taj Mahal and make a deal for his hotels in Atlantic City. So they're dealing with my agents. But I go and I have a meeting with him in Atlantic City. This is our first meeting. And what's funny is, you know, I got all this stuff. Like, I filmed everything. Like, now on my Andrew Dice Clay Instagram, I'm putting up, like, I call it scenes from a life, and I'm showing, like, footage of that time in my life, which I haven't put up the Donnie stuff yet.
Okay.
Oh. You know, but I would film everything. No, it's nothing bad. So what happened is, but even in this meeting, I got my buddy filming. He's like a fly on the wall. Like, I was doing reality before it existed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes into the office, and nice to meet you, all that stuff. And he goes, so we're going to be able to make a deal? And I'm going, yeah, well, my agents are handling that. But, you know, there's something I need you to help me with, you know. He goes, and he's like paying attention, you know. And he's like, yeah, what can I do for you? I go, no, the thing is, my sister's got this leak, and, you know, she's on the 6th floor, and they're complaining on the 5th and the 4th floor that, you know, they got a leak, and my sister knows it's not coming from her apartment. And he's looking at me, and he's going, well, what are you talking about? I go, nah, you know what I mean, you know. There's no, like, superintendent over there. He goes, over where? I go, the building, you know. And I know it was like one of his father's buildings that he owned years ago, you know. And he's looking at me. He goes, you drove to Atlantic City to talk to me about a roof problem? You know, something like that. I'm going, yeah, because it's your place. You could, you know. And he starts laughing, and he tells me to, Give the address to his guys that are there. And long story short, the next day, my sister calls me. And she goes, you're not even going to believe this. There's two giant trucks outside the building. And they're redoing the entire roof. Which I thought was very cool. That's, mm-hmm. you know, when me and Donnie, like, became friends. And, you know. And, of course, I did the hotel a million times. You know, and I'm not talking Polly. I'm not talking about him as president. I don't talk about any of that stuff. I couldn't care less who's president. I'll be honest with you.
Do you consider him a friend?
Yeah, definitely.
Into the White House or invited?
What's that? No, it's not about the pie. I know him forever.
No, I just wonder if you'd ever be invited.
When we were doing Dice, for instance, okay, the Showtime show, okay, and I needed a hotel in Vegas to film for nothing for like 2 weeks, you know, Donnie called his friend who owns the hotel, Phil Ruffian, and told him, like, give me the hotel, and they housed like 80 people and fed us and everything, and we filmed everywhere in the hotel for like 2 weeks.
Wow. I'll try you this know, one. If you don't want to answer this, don't answer. But as president, does that look like the same guy you know, or does it?
I just don't talk about any of that.
Okay.
Because, and I'll tell you why. Because I learned as a kid, okay, like really young, you know, like a mother's teachings going, don't ever talk politics, don't ever talk religion. It's never going to work out, those conversations. So I never have. You know, and when I go to a party, the last thing I care about is what my neighbor thinks about the president or anybody else. I'm looking to grab some big boob idiot and drag her into the friggin' closet and bust a nut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, that's a party. Not talking to my neighbor about what he thinks of what's going on. That's where the world's changed, and that's so stupid. It's just so stupid. Because politics is a business within itself. You know, so I don't discuss it. I just don't get into it.
Well, I refuse to be a partisan for any politician. I can't do it. And I generally agree with you. And if we didn't do a show that pretty much talked about whatever's going on, I would never talk about politics because you can't make everybody happy.
I go to a party, I want to get laid. I walk down the street, I want to get laid. I come on stage, I want to get laid. You know, I don't care who's the congressman in the neighborhood is. Just clean it up. Just make the street nice.
Well, I hope they're getting laid. I hope the getting laid part's going well.
Let me tell you something. It's what I do. You know, like when I'm not on stage, that's what I'm doing. You know, there's nothing else to do. You know what I mean?
Well, that's great. Like, I mean, it sounds like fun.
In L.A., well, number one, in L.A., all people do is run errands. So let's say I'm in the drugstore, right? And there's some chick buying her nail polish. And I come over and I'm like, how you doing? You know, it's like the minute a guy says hello, that's basically saying, I want to bang you. That's it. So they either catch on or they don't.
Yeah, and in many cases, I'm sure they catch on pretty quick.
Two famous incidents which happened like within a year of each other. I just want to know which one was more annoying to deal with. The MTV Video Music Awards that led to that ban, or the SNL whole thing with Nora Dunn.
Do you understand that? All right, who's this guy now?
Where it's me.
It's Mark.
I know it was 30 years ago.
Do you understand when that happened? Do you understand, like, I'm before time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm before time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... I didn't happen by chasing down followers on the internet. I do the Andrew Dice Clay Instagram because I have fun doing it. Okay? It's enjoyable. I got millions of fans. I don't need... And every day I lose a fan, that's a good day. Anytime I get to block somebody, I enjoy it. I don't like them. I don't need them around me.
Well, that's so, what I meant, you know, about what was more annoying... was because the SNL thing was a joke.
No, but when I did the MTV and I made my move, okay, I went from, let's say, I was doing like one show in Chicago in an 18,000 seater, it turned into three shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It just made me bigger than life. I'm not a singer. Go ahead, ban me for life. Who cares? You know, Dick Clark's lucky I didn't smack him. You know what I mean? You know, because he's the one that got me mad backstage you know, telling me, you know, well, you know, if you got to stretch because Cher isn't ready to come out, Arsenio will come over. I go, wait a minute, Dick. Look at me when I talk. I said, don't tell me anybody's coming over to me. That's not the plan. You understand? And as I'm yelling at this guy, you know, because I get mad, you know, sometimes I could get a little violent, you know. And so as I'm yelling at him, all of a sudden they start to introduce me. So I'm thinking, you know what, just go out and throw the world. And I did. You know, I put up a clip today on from all the all the filming of, you know, like I was telling you with the scenes from Life, of where I, where you, there's like 15 seconds where I go something about MTV, like I, you know, I had a shot and I took it, and if they don't like it, fuck them type of thing. You know what I mean? But in the meantime, after I did the MTV Awards the next day, they're not even talking about who won for best song, for best anything. They're talking about Dice, biggest comic in the world, you know, before internet, before getting followers or Facebook or tweeting, these assholes. It just, listen, when I would go on sale, one ad in the newspaper, okay, and I would sell out 20 cities in less than an hour. No internet, no nothing. Hundreds of thousands of people. And I would do just tour after tour. The tours were happening so quickly. I went all the way to like 96 with the touring, like in the arena type of thing. It was happening so I couldn't even come up with names for tours after a while. That's how fast it was going on. And it just kept going on. It was crazy.
No, you,
and
you were
Saturday Night Live.
You were so red hot, you know, Dice, and you were selling everything out. And I don't think anybody ever sold out Madison Square Garden doing what you do. And all those records were made at that time and all those firsts. And I always wondered, you know, when you have that period where you just, everything is just right in the zeitgeist. You're just that hot guy for that time. And then it passes. And of course, you've made a great, amazing comeback doing other things and acting, which we never would have predicted. Now you're doing what you do best at Andiamo's on Friday night. Did you take care of your money, or did you ever reach a point where you're like, oh shit, why did I live like that? I lived over my head, you know, like a lot of guys do.
Number one, everybody lives over their head. I got a ton of money. I've spent a ton of money. I make a ton of money. Yeah. Like I couldn't, like, you know, when, you know, I'm very close with my sons. They're like, you know, 25 and 29. So they, you know, they've grown up with me. They live in the same home with me. They see me go through marriages like water, you know. But, you know, it's the greatest stuff because, like, you know, like I was a big-time gambler, right? I was a big-time smoker. You know, the biggest comic in the world. I bought every car you could imagine that you'd ever want, from Corniches to, I probably bought a dozen Mercedes. It just means nothing to me. You know what I mean? It's just fun. So I've gotten to live, like, you know, people could save up, like, their whole life and go, okay, we're going to do the big Vegas vacation, you know. You know, and they get treated like garbage. They're waiting online for hours just to check in. And I walk into a casino and they just bow down. Biggest suite in the place. With the massage rooms in the place. You know what I mean? The best restaurants. You want a cabana near the pool for how long, Dice? 2 weeks? Done. You know, there is no wait. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. I could win or lose just hundreds of thousands of dollars in a half hour.
What's the most you bet on a hand? Do you remember what the most you ever bet on one hand was?
No, you don't even understand. I would just play the whole table. I don't play. You think I play with other people at the table? I play every spot. It's 60,000 a shot, you know, win or lose. It's just a shit. You know what I mean? I'm diced.
Yeah.
You know, I've had speeches where I look at the dealer. One time I'm playing this dealer that sort of modeled his hairdo and sideburns after me, but he had a really bad attitude, and I got 60 grand, you know, and, you know, I would do things at a table, like, I would take chances because I got a great gut feel. So, you ever play blackjack, for instance?
Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I'll ask you a question. You got a six and an eight against the dealer's break card, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's your move?
Which break card? Five, six, four, three?
Yeah, like four, five, six.
Well, I would hold and let the dealer bust, but I have a feeling
you would hold on a six and an eight.
If I've got a six and an eight, yeah, I got 14. There's a lot of ways for me to bust, and he's got
a
bust.
Ace.
Oh, ace.
Ace.
Oh, double it.
Oh, double down.
Stupid. Oh, really?
Double all day.
See, double down.
And I look at that hand, and I got 60 grand up, right?
Yeah.
60 grand. And I look at the ace, and I look at the six, and I look at the dealer, and I say, what would your move be? And he goes, well, you know, it's stupid not to double down. I go, really? It's stupid if you don't have a 10 under there. That's what makes it stupid. So I'll tell you what, since you're here, what, 8, 12 hours a day, and I'm here for a half hour, I'm going to play stupid. And I'll just leave everything. How's that sound? And let's see who the stupid one is. And then the dealer turns over his stupid card, and he's got 16, and he pulls a 10. I'm all good.
Nice.
Happy ending.
Win's a win.
Pay me. And 5 minutes later, you got $450,000 or $500,000, and you walk away. I'm going to go buy a car now. let me tell you something. That actually happened on the first Christmas and New Year's weekend I ever played Vegas. And after I won all that money, I look at my friends and I go, yeah, let's grab a car, take to the radio station to plug the show. So we got a Mercedes, and they got this one Mercedes there, the first one I bought. And it's $69,000, okay? Which is exactly what I won on this particular run. I just got to Vegas. I was there like 40 minutes. Wow. So I look at the guy. I go, look, I always wanted to do something like this because you see the movies. I go, you know where I'm staying. I'm not signing any paperwork. Here's the money. I just take it in cash. I give him the money. I go, and tomorrow you'll come sign. I'll sign all the papers, but right now, I need you to open the doors so I can just drive out of here with my friend in the car. And that's what we did. And then after the radio, on the way back to the hotel, I go, you know, that's some nerve at a hotel that all they gave me was enough money to pay for the car. I go, they owe me that 69 grand because they should have just bought a car for me. That's how I think. So I don't just, you know, go and get another 69 grand. I go get another $250,000 before my family even flies in that night. And I gave the car at that time to who wound up my second wife and the mother of my children. I gave it to her as a Christmas gift.
Hey, wow.
Whew.
So, wow. So my question to you is, who gets to do that in life?
Very few people.
Not many people.
But that's what I'm saying. No, let me eat the buffet. Really? Do you think when I go like into a great steak place in Vegas, okay, do you think I'm paying for the meal? What are you crazy?
Well, I got to tell you, I love...
They love just having me there. This is what I'm saying.
No, that's great. I read rock and roll bios. I read bios about you guys. I watch documentaries. I just saw one on Sam Kinison, which I loved. And I'm glad you guys are doing it because it's a hell of a lot of fun to read about. And if I couldn't vicariously do it through you guys, I don't think I could do it.
Hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. So when you ask about money, yeah. I didn't save every nickel. Who wants to? Who wants to?
No, it's about...
I'd love to look back at the... Look, I made it when I was about 30 years old, and I'm 62 now. I wouldn't want to look back now and go, all that money... Yeah, so I got a big bank account. What'd I ever buy with it?
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, I still have a big bank account, you know, but I didn't save every nickel. I'm not cheap. Waiter does a good thing. Here's $1,000. Get out of here. You know what I mean?
Oh, you got a lot of great stories.
I like that. Yeah, it just go. When I do a documentary, finally, you'll hear all the stuff. And don't get me wrong. There were days, even in the gambling world, you know, where I'd lose $500,000. It meant nothing. Just nothing. My father would say, so we'll book a show. You'll have it back in a week. What do you care?
Wow. You know? That must be nice. Well,
yeah,
that's
what do you think? You know, don't forget it's all arenas. It's all, you know, it's Monopoly money. It's millions a week. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, that's why
I'm
Elvis.
Not a band. I'm one guy.
Elvis used to play Vegas for so long because the Colonel took 50% and he was busy losing it at the tables, so he needed to extend Elvis's tour. So he could keep losing money at the blackjack tables.
Well, yeah, I'll never, you know, Elvis is who I idolized and where I got my image for dice, you know. But I was like, you know, he wasn't the sharpest pencil in the book.
No, but he was nice. He gave cars to all his friends, and you know,
no, he was Elvis was the greatest. But you know, I mean, it went the way it went, but. No way is anybody taking 50% of me. You know?
Hell no.
You know, it's just not, you know, but Elvis was very loyal to that fat fuck. You know
yes,
what I mean?
He was. I know
yeah,
it's too bad.
He was very loyal to him because he is the guy that, but he didn't let Elvis leave the country. He didn't let him tour the world. Yeah. You know, and I'm really great friends with, he's one of my best friends, Jerry Schilling, who, you know, was Elvis's closest. You know, Jerry
Elvis
lives in a
mafia.
House that Elvis bought. Yeah, but the house Jerry lives in, Elvis bought him. You know, when you do the tour at Graceland, they go, that's Jerry Schilling's room. You
yeah.
know, so we've been close all the years. Anytime I needed Elvis music, he gave it to me.
Well, I bet you've heard some good stories, too.
Yeah, no, it's he's an amazing guy, Jerry, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Elvis is who I study, you know, as far as a performer. When people ask me about comics, I go, comics? What comic ever looked like this? What, are you kidding? You know? Are you kidding? Look at the cover of my book. Look it up, The Filthy Truth. Look at that cover and tell me one comic that looks anywhere near that, ever.
No, we know when it's you, and it'll be a full house on Friday night at Andiamo's.
Utterly stuttering. you got to see this chick I'm looking at right now. She needs work on a cane. It's fat, but it's not. It needs some squat. You know, she's got the cow-fed boobs, you know, and her hair's too short. But I'll tell her that in the gym. You know, her thighs are a little too fat. She should be in more of a wedge, even though she's going to work out. It would raise the ass. You know, she might not be alone if she did what I tell her to do now.
So you're a personal trainer.
Dice, you know, we got to run.
I learned how to train. All right.
No, I got to go. Tell me.
I'm just saying, I learned how to train from Stallone's guy that did all the Rockies and Rambos, George Pipsick, who came over from Czechoslovakia and years ago when I needed to learn how to train my body, Sly set me up with George. So I know, you know, if I get out of shape, I know how to get into shape because he taught me, you know, so I'll go in there and I'll grab Chubby, you know, whatever her name is. I just saw her get out of a car. And I'll say, all right, look at me. This is what has to happen, okay? No cheese. That's number one. No dairy. We're going to cut this girl will be looking like I'm harassing her. I go, no dairy. You like to put your pepper jack cheese on your salad? You little fatso? Yeah, I know. I'm body shaming you. Take off the weight. Nobody will body shame you. You'll have a Saturday night date instead of a Monday afternoon that a guy meets you at a bus stop. You know what I mean? And I know how to help. What I'm saying is I know how to help people. You know, sometimes you gotta tell them the facts. You know, you're a little chunky girl. You know, look at you. Look in the mirror, I'll tell her. And I'll grab a belly. And I go, what is that? What is that? I go, that's cheese. That's the cheese that every girl in the world goes, oh, cheese doesn't hurt you. Well, now it's on you. It's in you. Okay? Oh, it's not hurting you. It's making you bigger for the world to see. Oh, they're so dumb. Anyway.
Dice, Friday night on Diamos.
I'm the nicest guy in the world. I mean, you know, I'm considered that by a lot of people, whether you know it or not.
No, you know, and I'm
Nobody's nicer than me.
I'm so glad you weren't washing your balls and you could give us all this time today. I'm so glad you called, Dice.
All right, but the beauty of it, and now I'm going to go after I tell you this. My opening act and ex-fiance, Eleanor Kerrigan, has been sitting in her car fuming. She doesn't know I'm doing an interview. She just knows I'm on the phone. She'll be fuming. And she'll be with me at the Andiamo.
Well, so you're helping her, too, then.
She's an incredible stand-up. She destroys, you know. And it, always, all the time. When she gets a special, she'll be gigantic. But today, she's fuming. How long we've been on the phone? We're on nearly 40 minutes. I told her it's going to be 5 minutes. Oh, I'm so happy now. I'm so happy because I'll do an Instagram video, and she'll be so angry in it. And then I could post it, and you could see what she is. You understand?
Yes, I want to see it, and you'll make it up to her when she with this great plug, and also we'll see her Friday night at Andiamo's.
Yeah, no, she's great.
She'll get over it.
There's nothing better than getting her angry. That's what I like to do.
How soon will that be posted?
Oh, within 20 minutes.
All right, we'll keep an eye out.
We'll be looking for it, Dice.
Yeah, because I got to get her when she's fresh and angry. You know what I mean?
You got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, all right, so I'm going to go because she's standing there now.
Okay.
She's just standing looking at my car. I just want to get... look at it. Looks like olive oil with the big sweatshirt on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. All right, guys,
thank you again, buddy.
Bye, Dice.
Thank you, and I'll see you there.
I hope Absolutely. We talk to you real All soon. Right. See ya.
Thanks, Dice.
All right. I'm over here now. All right.
Wow. We didn't even know if he was going to call.
Yeah. Wow.
What a whirlwind that was. Gambling advice.
Donnie.
What an incredible life.
Yeah. And he's a trainer.
You know.
Personal trainer.
Honestly. You read about these people, and it's like, God, I could never do that. I could never live that way. And you try to think, you know, like, oh, why don't they do this? Or how'd they get in that trouble? Because I would never do it. Here's how I would think. But you just can't think like people like that. They're on their own planet. That's why they're the stars.
What do you remember from the Nora Dunn, I'm not doing SNL this week because of Dice story? Like, do you remember the sides that were taken on that? How it wrapped up?
I remember thinking she was a big sourpuss, honestly.
Well,
that's what I remember. But I was a lot younger, and people didn't really do that back then. And yeah, he and Sam were definitely pushing it. I mean, there's no question about that. But it's just like, well, they booked him. It's her job. I don't know. I was probably a little out of touch.
I believed.
That's kind of like not expecting a bear to be a bear. Instead of Dice.
I always thought that SNL supported her.
But then why'd they have him on?
Well, they did not support her at all. Lauren was pissed because she went to the press right away. Yeah. Didn't let him deal with it. It's in the SNL book, it's really interesting. Who else was really pissed at her was Victoria Jackson.
Oh!
Because I just want to read this one thing real quick. She says, I think the Andrew Dice Clay thing was a totally publicity stunt on Nora's part. We had other comics that degraded women, like Sam Kinison. Sam made fun of Jesus Christ, and although I'm a Christian, I still went to work, not because my contract wasn't based on, I come to work if I approve of the host. If Nora's passionate platform of life is women's rights, she was meaner to me than anyone in my life, and I'm a woman. So obviously, she doesn't really love women.
Whoa.
Which that's pretty powerful stuff. And then
Jan Hooks
got a call from the New York Post. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. They wanted comment. And then in the SNL book, there's two pages from Dice, and he called it for what it was, a publicity stunt because her contract was up. And at the end of the year, they didn't re-sign her.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think that helped her in any way, shape, or form, because if you're in comedy, certainly, and you're on a sketch show where other people are writing for the most part, and she was in a lot of stuff.
But I could see if this happened today, which they would never book
somebody. Oh, today? Yeah, no. They wouldn't book him.
They'd be crying.
But even if they did book him by accident or somebody like him by accident, like, God.
Well, you book people like that for the attention, too. It's not
He wrote about that, too. Like, it was its highest ratings. The show's highest ratings that year.
And it wasn't the best show, either. But it brought a lot of eyeballs to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That was the point.
Yeah. So there. Wow.
Jack and Joe went up the hill both with a buck and a quarter. Joe came down with 250. Little boy Blue. He needed the money. Was an old lady lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, her uterus fell out. Mary, quite contrary, trim that pussy, it's so damn hairy. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her old dog a bone. She bent over, Rover took over. She got a bone of her own, I don't know.
Well, it is strange, you know, when he's talking about before all the social media, it is strange to me that people can just start posting and whoosh, off they go. And then, you know, watching the Sam Kinison documentary and seeing the lengths he had to go to, the suffering, although I don't know, it didn't feel like suffering because he wanted it. He didn't mind sleeping at the Comedy Store. Mm. His brother didn't mind sleeping there with him. I think they were fun. They were young. They were crazy, but
they still worked hard.
Oh yeah, they worked hard, and a lot of rejection. And you just would have thought that at some point, said, "I got to do something else. This isn't working out." I mean, so many of those people, but it's almost like they just outlasted everyone. I mean, you got to be good too.
The other thing Dice said about the SNL thing is he was blown away when he gets there. You know, these are sketch comedy actors and writers. They didn't realize that his stage persona is an act. Like, it's a character. The Dice Man is a character. So I thought that was really interesting that they didn't understand that.
Oh, yeah.
That seems so naive for someone in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to this day, the people treat Danny McBride that way. They think he is the person who's in all of his shows.
They think he's...
And he's...
Well, I was reading about...
Dramatically different.
I started to dip into the Elton John book. And he's talking about Axl Rose, who he likes. Mm-hmm. He likes him a lot. And he said that, you know, the gay and lesbian community, it wasn't all the letters then. It was just the gay and lesbian community. They were livid because he sang with Axl Rose. They sang Bohemian Rhapsody, didn't they?
Oh.
I forgot what the event was, but they did. They sang together. They sang a Freddie Mercury song. And then he sang with Eminem. And people said, oh, my God, how can he do that? And
Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Oh, right. Sound right? Yeah.
He said that as far as Sam and the song, he said that, or Axl, he said that wasn't Axl. He was singing, he was writing about another person. It wasn't him saying, you know, what was being said in the song. It was character.
Yeah.
Same thing with Eminem.
Entertainment. Yeah. Performance.
And he got it.
What does he write about Eminem in the book? Anything?
I think he likes him.
Yeah. Oh no, I knew that. I didn't get that. If he added anything.
Yeah, I'll look for more. It does have an index, which is nice.
How young he looks here. When was this concert?
Freddie Mercury died in 91.
Freddie Mercury's dead.
So Elton would have been 28 years ago. He'd been 44. 40.
Totally different.
5.
Where's Axl?
There's also a video where Guns N' Roses is playing November Rain, and Elton John is doing the piano.
There comes Axl in his kilt. In his number 22 jersey.
What team?
God, he loved that jersey.
I always assumed it was Raiders, but it's just nondescript black.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so they had a problem with this? I mean, it's...
Yeah, they didn't like that he was singing a song with Axl Rose.
But it's a tribute to Freddie Mercury, who was gay.
Shouldn't be singing with Axl Rose.
So confused.
He's homophobic.
Why is that homophobic? He's a tribute to a gay guy.
He wrote One in a Million.
Oh, Brian May, shredding!
Woo! So underrated.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we should move along.
What a day.
Two shows yesterday. Jim Brewer and Dice today.
Yeah, Jesus. Didn't even get to the boner line, so we'll have to save that for tomorrow.
Oh, my. Is it a good boner line?
It's a great
boner. Or a mean boner line?
It's mean.
There is a section mean. Of mean. There is a section of nice. And then there's some rando.
Why do people have to be so mean on the boner line?
Feelings are hurt.
I don't understand it. Boner line is for people to call in with nice, say nice things. Be so mean to me. You should appreciate the magic and the wonderment of the show. Pass along all their compliments. So,
209-206-6 boner.
Thank you. I love you. E-O. All right, get us out of here. And go to our Instagram page and like it. And follow it. And
tribute to it.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. All that jazz. Go to the store.
And Facebook and iTunes, anywhere you can write a nice review, like Stitcher or any of the platforms. It's much appreciated.
Hey, there have been a lot of books you've been talking about lately. They are all on your favorite things.
Okay, good. Well, then
anybody
and you can buy them
talking about
the Amazon portal.
Same difference.
Steve Gabara says he's been spending a lot of money in our Amazon portal.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I know. If everyone bought everything they buy through Amazon, through our portal,
yeah.
I don't know if we'd need any help beyond that.
No.
People spend so much money on Amazon. It's unbelievable.
I know my household does.
Yeah. Well, it helps. Every little bit helps. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And tomorrow, I'm trying to think if there's anything special tomorrow.
Nah.
Our Friday, I think.
It's been
a good week.
Long week, man.
Yeah, I know we had an extra show. And I noticed the...
Worth it, though.
I think when the Clark Show uploaded, a lot of people who would have listened to the Tuesday... Or the Monday show, was it? Tuesday? Yeah.
Tuesday.
They would have listened to the Monday show, listened to the Clark Show first, because then the number's a little lower. But then it puffs up in the new shows.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they'll get back around to that show, too. Anyway,
whatever show you listen to.
We're number 98 in iTunes.
Ah.
So something's going right.
Rules.
Some extra listening in there somewhere. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
People never learn when to quit drinking. It's not that you don't have to drink. If you don't want to get sick, it's very simple. What you do is, here's an easy analogy for everybody. Next time you go drinking, you have to remember, it's like having a party, right? But the party is in your stomach. The stomach is the bouncer. He's the door guy. You don't want to annoy him, right? Now, when you have a party, you invite your friends, you invite your family, because you know everyone gets along. No problems. Same thing when you have a party in the stomach. Now, if you're going to invite alcohol, stick to one group. Like beer, you can mix up all the beer you want, because beer knows one another. They show up the stomach. He's here, I'm telling you, man. Hey, stomach, what's up, man? Listen, it's just us beer, you know? Looking for a little party, hang out, you know? Now, you know everyone. You know Coors Light, Sam Adams, Beck. Un cello. He's crazy, man. He's nuts, man. You know Heineken, you know? And your stomach's cool with that. All right, come on in. Just keep it down, all of you, understand? Beer goes, are you sure? Because there's like 20 of us here, man. Beer goes in, having a good time. Now, a party. people find out about parties. So does other liquor. Next thing you know, a couple scotches show up.
How are you, stomach? Could you got a great party going on in there? Very good, he's in some big pipers. What do you say?
Stomach, I don't know. Come on, show him the... Just want to blast it out. Now you're mixing a crowd up, stomach lets them in. Now that's when tension starts. People don't know one another, and that creates tension. Scotch is walking around with his boys. Come on, boys, look at there. Look at that.
Look at it, look at it. Oi! Heineken! Right here, you rot bastard, you. Don't like you.
And now there's a lot of tension. You can feel it going on in there, but now everyone's showing up. Jägermeisters and Sambuca, sake.
Oh, hold the party here tonight. What a big party. Come and help all my friends. Come on.
Now the place is packed. There's a lot of tension. Everything's getting out of control. Your stomach. Hey, hey, come on, guys. I'm not going to tell you again. Keep it down. Pad up to here now. And that's when the crazy people always crash the party. Who always shows up at the end of the night? Tequila. And tequila doesn't show up alone. There's always 8 or 9 of them lined up. Stomach gets all brave. How you doing, Tequila? Listen. Listen. All right? It's a little late. Can't let you in tonight. I'm sorry. You know? Besides, I let you in 3 weeks ago. You ruined the place. You hear me?
Tequila's like, come on, man. We won't start no trouble, man. We just came here to have a good time, man. Right, senor? That's right, senor. We left the worm back in the van. He won't mess with nobody.
Like an idiot, your stomach lets in one shot of tequila. And then he sneaks in all his friends when no one's looking.
Come on, man. Ain't nobody looking. Go to the legs. Go get the worm. We're going to go get the bone.
Your stomach. All right, that's it. Everyone, get out. Hey, what are we doing? Not that way, the way he came in. Let's go.
Good evening, ladies, and good evening, gents. I'd like to welcome you to this event. My name is Dice. I'm here to say I was born in Brooklyn, Sheepshead Bay. Come a long way to make you smile. I'm gonna do it different, gonna do it Dice style. Well, Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spidey, sat down beside. He said, hey, what's in the bowl, bitch? Oh! You're a pretty good crowd. You seem to know those. So I'll give you a few new poems. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. Your mother's a whore. I ain't your pop. Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean. So Jack ignored her flabby tits and licked her ass all clean. Oh! Oh, yeah. I dig this crowd. We got some hot chicks right up front, eh? What's your name, honey? Any idea? I dig chicks. I dig. I'm a little too thin. I dig it, though, you know? I hate these chicks you're in bed with and they start complaining.
Oh, my hip hurts.
That's why I like these 600-pounders, you know? I like to know I'm banging a chick, and you know a chick is good to bang when she's bigger than the bed you're on. Oh, yeah. It's unfriggin' believable. I met this chick last week, wheeled her back to my apartment. Got her in bed, started brushing the hair on her back. Braid it, spike it, get her all excited. And then you want to talk breasts?
Let me tell you something. I grabbed onto a set of tits. Now, you don't know where the tits begin and the belly ends. I mean, it's like one big lop of shit.